He's back.
I'm back!
He's down on the phone.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Liberia and Danville.
Here.
Breaking news. A boyfriend tried to romantically welcome his girlfriend home from a trip. He scattered flowers, chilled champagne, and set up an array of candles on the bedroom floor, spelling out her name.
He's a good man.
The candles started the carpet on fire.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And burned the house down.
It's a fire.
I'm sure that was not the carpet fire or the hosing down in the bedroom the boyfriend had hoped for. A developing story. A woman at a McDonald's in North Carolina went to put mayonnaise on her chicken sandwich when she saw a swastika etched in butter inside the bun. I'll have a chicken sandwich, fries, and a Coke. Would you like a side of hate with that? Hi, Hitler. Drive through, please.
I'm loving it.
I'm Gary Meyer.
That's not a good start, but keep going.
On the Screenliner. And some of you said I wouldn't be back when I left on vacation 2 weeks ago.
Our general manager, I wonder if he's hiring any more sports guys for the station.
The Gare Force, stronger than ever on WGN.FM, the Super G. That's right, Tom.
Where are you back in style?
So I'm at O'Hare.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting waiting to board. And on the monitor, Mr. Skilling with a message from FEMA.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've heard about it. I recorded that, I don't know, 5 years ago. And they're still playing that thing, huh?
Why do I need to see that right before I board? And
I
they showed
know.
Some big, ugly tornadoes.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's great. I
sure.
like it to be a smooth flight. And
sure.
here's Tom. And these tornadoes
telling
are
you you're
killing
about to
all
hit
kinds of people.
Turbulence, yeah. Right.
But the flights turned out to be very smooth.
Good.
Nothing to complain about.
You sound wonderful. You sound rested and ready and raring to go. How was the vacation? Good?
It was very nice. I think over Christmas I'll get 10 days in if I can stretch
You've
it.
You've never taken two weeks before.
Weeks,
I know. It's unheard of.
It's like winning the lottery in this business.
No.
I'm glad to be back, but I'll tell you what, it's good to recharge and do whatever I had to do.
Isn't it the truth?
Whatever that was.
Well, you know what? There's something about this line of work. Your mind has to work all the time. There's something about getting away 2 weeks and just being able to let it wander wherever you want it to go.
Yeah, you think you have problems until you see the pictures of West Africa.
Oh, or how about ISIS? That mess. Yeah.
And I'm looking at those people in West Africa with Ebola, and I'm thinking on their best day, it's got to be hell.
I know. It's
amazing. They show these places. It looks just all squalor and poor. And then they've got this Ebola. And apparently a lot of the native people there are not accepting the doctor's help because they think the doctors are bringing the disease in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of misinformation about it. Yeah. That's really scary, isn't it?
And
something that eats your flesh away.
Yeah.
Yike.
And they can't get a grip on it that way because it spreads. It's very contagious.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of witch doctors and other ways, they say, to heal these people, which, you know, are all bogus. In fact, in one of the articles I read, it said that one of the leaders there said that they're going to have mass burnings of fetishes, which is a new feature that I'd like to introduce at 5 o'clock. This is the kind of voodoo that they're into. And I'm so glad to be in this country. When I hear mass burnings of fetishes.
I know. Gee.
Sounds like a Jerry Springer episode.
It does. It does, doesn't it?
And that's what they really believe in.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh. And then they have to wrap you up like a mummy, those two people that got it, and they brought it back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they're quarantined and all that nonsense.
You know what's interesting? I heard about this vaccine that they've come up with. Apparently what they do is they manufacture it in a tobacco plant. They put this virus in a tobacco plant. The tobacco plant starts to die, and then they extract whatever it's produced in the way of an antibody, and that's how they start making this vaccine. And it occurred to me, hey, maybe we finally found a useful purpose for the tobacco plant.
It's just sad on how life works. You're in West Africa, And that's got to be tough enough. And then you get this Ebola breakout.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't really have the resources to handle it. And, again, you look in the paper and think, what are my problems? Do I have problems? I don't think so. What's my problem, really?
Yeah, I had trouble getting my Diet Mountain Dew cap off today, you know, something like that.
It really it's is just, perspective.
Yeah.
And then I watched Black Hawk Down again. Over
that's uplifting.
Pick me up.
Yeah, well, that really
the
is.
The way things are going over in Iraq, we've sent planes over there again.
Haven't we been there and done that?
Exactly.
You know,
these places are rat's nests. When you watch Black Hawk Down, which was a fairly accurate portrayal of what happened in Somalia when we wanted to do something there,
right.
It's a rat's nest.
It is.
These guys are loaded to the teeth with guns. And they've got rocket launchers.
Yeah, and where do all these come from? And they all have these trucks with these machine guns on the back of them, driving around, firing at everything that moves.
80%.
How would you like that in your neighborhood, you know?
80% of that movie is just these guys getting ground up trying to get out of the town square.
No.
And these guys are walking around with the rocket launchers, knocking down the Blackhawks.
Yeah. How horrible. And how would you like to wake up with that?
I mean, they have street clothes on, too. It's not like they're dressed up in army uniforms. They just have, like, a flannel on.
And they got ammunition, a go-go.
Yeah.
And again, Tom, where do they get it? Well, if they have money and they get money somehow, they can get anything.
What, they overran Fallujah? Wasn't that where it was, where they took the bank over and walked off with $500 billion or something that was just laying around over there?
And in Iraq, they took over one of the main dams, and I'm thinking, one of these knuckleheads know how to run a dam?
Gee.
I don't think so.
No. They say they may flood the whole area. That's how they're going to maybe take it over.
And you know what?
Okay, after you flood it all, now what do you have? What are you in charge of, you idiot?
Venice.
And they consider
Venice.
See? And look, Venice is in some trouble, too.
Right.
They're sinking, too.
The world's largest water park. Now we've got it.
There's Wisconsin Dells and Iraq.
Right.
That's the two places.
But this is what we're dealing with. But if you watch Black Hawk Down, tell me that copter pilot that is kind of monitoring all the activity below, he sounds like he's doing traffic on the 10s in Somalia. He's very calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like the guy from Frasier.
You know, I had
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
The guy who looks like Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
And he's so calm. I've got a backup at the Mogadishu Highway, about 4 minutes of terrorists backed up there.
There's
Jeeps.
Gunfire over there. On the...
It really is him doing traffic on the 8s or 10s in Somalia in the helicopter.
I hadn't thought about that, but it's true.
It looks like your helicopter's been hit there. You might want to get that checked up. All right, back to you in the studio.
Yeah. Imagine Leslie doing that kind of report, you know?
But they thought that was going to be, we're in, we're out, no big deal.
I know.
And they got down in there, and it was hell.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when we go into these places.
Well, it's a mess. They're showing pictures. I see it up here on the monitor of them evacuating these 20,000 people. And they just go in and mow people down.
Yeah. They got them up on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
They got them up there.
They're starving.
Exactly. And we're sending relief.
You know, I still think, Gary, the climate over there has something to do with that. If you lived in a place where you had a 92 dew point and a temperature of 115 every day, you'd be mad at the world, too, you know?
Do they have, I know this might sound very 180 NPR.
Yeah, right.
Do they have any kind of air conditioning in their buildings there? Or are they that backwards where they don't even have that?
I don't know.
It is a place where that's where you should have air conditioning, but they might not.
The highest dew points in the world are in the Persian Gulf and over in that area. You know, we think of it as desert, the Sahara Desert. The dew points of 90, I can't even conceive of that. That's like beyond what you get in the Amazon River Valley.
We should be dropping air conditioners and frozen Snickers bars, flat-screen television.
Sure.
Win them over that way.
That's right.
That's why we're calm over here.
Exactly.
Because we got stuff.
Right.
And an NFL team. Let's give them an NFL team.
Yeah.
Something to root over and let their energy go out that way.
Well, look what they built that indoor ski hill, didn't they, over in the middle
of Dubai, right?
Dubai, yeah.
Yeah, they have everything going on. They seem calm.
And the football team, they could use the name ISIS.
There we go.
They've got a logo
and
everything.
The Iraqi ISIS is...
exactly. If they have air conditioning, I bet you it's not central.
No, I bet it's
even
not.
Even a window unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a few window units to calm down.
Somehow, I don't think they'd mind a window unit.
By the way, Tom, trending number 2 on TuneIn Radio as we speak. Right back here.
There you go.
I'll tell you,
never
Gary.
Left.
Yeah. Gary, I hear about you everywhere I go. People have been saying, where is he? When's he coming back?
Where is that ass?
I know.
Weren't you happy when you put your card in the
security
thing and the green light came on?
Well, no.
I was like, thank God.
That's what you really wonder when you come back.
I know.
And the card's not registering.
Two signs you're in trouble. The card doesn't work or your email doesn't. Yeah. You can't log on the email system, you know.
Tom, I want to pursue doing this half hour on CLTV. Any movement?
You can
tell me?
I saw the boss in here, and I didn't bring it up to him again, but I brought it up a couple times, and he said, I'm thinking about this,
Okay.
So now, they're getting ready with this 4 o'clock show,
When
so
does that start?
That starts September 8th.
All right.
So we were shooting some promos for that just the other week.
And by boss, now there's a woman who's the news director, right?
Jennifer Lyons.
Jennifer, and then who's...
By the way, I checked with her. She came in that night after you and I talked about it, and I said, I was talking to Gary, and I said, maybe we can bring back, on the line of Meyer. And I said, you ask... I'm okay with her, right? Or, I'm on solid ground with her. And she laughed. She thought that was funny.
Okay, that doesn't say anything.
Well, no.
It
wasn't paid. It didn't. No. You know what, Gary? It's when they say, Believe me, Jen wouldn't be afraid to say, So she didn't say that.
Okay.
So
unless I hear a solid no, I'm still going.
Right. Let's go for it.
And you'll be hopefully still on this after the 5 o'clock.
Yes.
4 o'clock starts.
Yes, we may have to do some tinkering with the timing on it,
okay.
That's my full intention, So maybe we do 6 o'clock instead of 3, the full length thing.
I'm up for anything, but I want my Tom at least once a day.
Well, you're going to get your Tom, so we're having too much fun here. Hey, you know what? Elton went somewhere. I saw you all over.
He was doing community service. He's trying to work that off.
No, you
got a solid 2 weeks in.
You traveled somewhere, didn't you, Elton?
Yeah, we went out to the Baltics. We went to Russia.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
wow.
Cool.
Boy, you world travelers.
And well, we never get
Gary, you're out in L.A. and
he was in L.A. and New York.
New York? Wow.
Well, 2 weeks. What are you going to do?
Two
you
weeks.
Can't just stay here.
You can't. You cannot stay here.
You gotta
it's the law.
Leave.
Get the hell out.
Right.
I have to tell you.
We missed you guys.
I go to New York fairly often, and over the years it's cleaned up dramatically, but I noticed they have a new mayor, and I'm not saying it's going to be squeaky clean. It's New York. I get that. But I always think there are areas that should be monitored all the time, and you want those, at least for the tourists, to be squeaky clean. And there's a street that cuts through Central Park to go from east to west and vice versa.
Right.
And I noticed the walkway along there, all kinds of garbage. And
wow.
I'm thinking this has got to be one of the biggest tourist months of the year.
So August, they're slipping a little bit
go
out
back
there,
to school.
Huh?
Right.
Wow.
And you got to at least pick the garbage up there.
Yeah.
Everything else, I know it's going to be kind of funky. But the Central Park area, that's got to be your big tourist attraction.
Were there homeless around?
Yeah.
Homeless?
Oh, yeah.
Because, Rudy got rid of them. He put them somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Nobody knows where he shipped them off, but he shipped them off somewhere.
They're back.
Yeah.
Well, this past weekend, I was driving around, and all I could think, and the traffic was, everybody was out in their car, but it was beautiful. And all I could think of, you go along our lakefront, they've got nothing even close to that in New York City.
All that comes out of the city is the nonsense. That's what we hear around the country.
Yeah.
We got to start promoting that.
I know. Well, you're taking a huge step with the help of Mr. Ramsey. I mean, your promotional announcements.
I know he's kicking and screaming on this, but he can be our spokesperson.
Well, he's not kicking and screaming. He just says, "Gee, I wonder if I'm allowed to say this or not."
Yeah.
But I said, "Sure." What the?
Because I was talking to some native New Yorkers. I said, "Yes, we have beaches right in the city." And if you could imagine beaches in New York City like that.
Can you imagine?
You can't.
No.
Because they don't have them.
Or people out in the boats. I mean, the boats that are out there. And people go out and party on these boats now. It's really amazing. I'm sure it saves fuel. They go out there and four boats abreast. You've seen those.
Oh, yeah, right off of Lakeshore.
Yeah.
That Oak Street area there.
Right.
It's either the playpen or the bathtub, depending on what boater you talk to.
Exactly. And, they do that up north, too, off Edgewater Beach. They park out there. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And people go out on these stand-up paddle things now that they you see groups of them out there.
And by the way, there was a bacteria warning for Montrose Beach this morning.
Ooh, well,
really? So apparently that's it was very popular yesterday.
I would not include that in the commercial.
No.
No?
That's not going to make it.
Well, that's not a good set. That's a little fly in the ointment there, then, or bacteria in the ointment.
Okay. What is the point of that? Why is that happening? Because was there a large rain?
Yes, there was.
Oh, yeah. There was?
There was.
When was that?
Well, this morning. Yeah, we had 3.5 inches up north.
Overnight, it was torrential.
It was. It wasn't
really?
As bad in the city as it was up north.
I was on NyQuil. I just wanted to knock myself out
at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Really? We had 3.5 inches up by Fox Lake this morning, and so a lot of rain. Lake Villa had close to 3 inches.
Oh, okay. So, I slept right through that one. So they opened up that big toilet and let it in to the lake and now the river.
The tunnel, not the toilet.
The toilet. The deep toilet, call it. Well, I won't be swimming in that.
No.
Not that I would anyway.
But I was going to say, Gary, I don't think you'd feel real cocky because I know how clean you are. You know, you're very very into cleanliness and so forth.
Well,
so
is that a bad thing to want all your parts to be clean?
No, it's not at all. But I can't see you taking a swim. Would you swim in the ocean? Because
I'll be honest with you. We went up to the Hamptons and we were sitting on the beach during the day, and I didn't get any closer than 20. The closest I got was when the tide came in, and I had to move my deck chair back.
See,
hurt your toes?
But they had rip currents, and the lifeguard had to go down and tell this guy that he didn't know what the hell he was doing to come back in.
Well, you know what? See, you deny yourself one of the, interesting, challenging features of life, like almost drowning. Having gone through that once, I don't want to do it again, but it is a life experience if you can get through it.
I kept thinking about if Tom was here, he'd be out there,
be out there drowning.
Blow a whistle and have somebody go get him.
I know. Somebody probably say, let him go.
But I guess the waves were kicked up because of that hurricane that had come up to the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And then went out, and it did kick up some waves up there.
It was
a lot of surfers out there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of surfers out in Hawaii, too.
They had
a hurricane in Hawaii.
They had two.
Yeah. They had one. It was tropical storm just before it went on shore, and then this other Julio went way north, but it kicked up waves that are going into the islands. It's moving away now.
Right.
But that's like the fourth major hurricane to occur in the eastern Pacific this year. They've had a lot. It's been very busy while the Atlantic's been fairly quiet. But you're talking about Bertha that went up the east coast.
Yeah, that's the one that kicked up some waves all the way up north and Long Island there.
Yeah.
And Hawaii rarely gets hurricanes.
No, that's true. And the reason is there's cool water that comes down the west end of the continent between Baja and, where they form over all that warm ocean water there. Then as they proceed westward toward Hawaii, they hit cooler water and wind shear, and they tend to, break up. Last hurricane they had, the big one, was Iniki, which was in 1992, and that thing was a 130-mile-per-hour hurricane. They had 200-mile-per-hour winds in the valleys. That is really rare. We were checking. There have been 1,100 named tropical storms and hurricanes in the eastern Pacific, and only two hurricanes have made it to Hawaii of all those storms.
And I remember that one because we were broadcasting from Las Vegas. We had remember Charo?
Yeah,
remember
I
Charo?
Do. Yeah.
Coochie Coochie.
We had her on the show, and she was fretting because she had a place in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
And her place, I guess, got hit during that hurricane.
I want to say her kids were there, too.
Something like that, yeah.
Like she still had family living in the house.
It made for a hard interview because her mind was in her homeland.
So. Hello, Gary.
But her real homeland.
Not that an interview with her looked like an easy affair to begin with.
Very nice woman, though.
She seemed very nice, but her mind seemed to wander wherever she wanted to go. That was the sense I got listening to her interviews. So.
Right, when your house is in the crosshairs of a hurricane, that's going to hurt,
too. You've got other things in your mind, yeah.
So the rain came overnight, and then it looked like it was going to rain again a few hours ago, and I'd like to kick off a Monday al fresco style tonight. What can you tell
me? Well, Gary, bring an umbrella with you. There'll be some storms developing, and they'll become more numerous later this evening and early tonight. Then later tonight, they just go over to a couple scattered showers, and we'll have a shower or two tomorrow. But by the afternoon, it should start breaking up later in the afternoon tomorrow. Then gorgeous weather Wednesday, Thursday. And you know something? There's a decidedly warmer look to this pattern that's taking shape out in the 1 to 2 week range. We've said that before, but what's different about this set of forecasts is they keep coming at us. It doesn't, the model doesn't get onto it and then back off it the next day. Since last week, we've been looking at some warming. So this may be the summer that we backload with some warmer temperatures, and we're overdue for those, frankly. So it's not bad.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to, can you hang? Because Leslie's going to do her thing.
Sure.
And then run out because she's on double duty.
Yes, R. Leslie.
GM on .FM, 312-521-8600. Text and phone number. Tom Skilling on board.
Gary.
Hey, Tom, I got this text, and I'm talking to you over the past weeks about doing the 3 to 3:30 segment on CLT simulcasting.
Yeah, right.
And this text says, why not just do the whole hour? Might be just as easy. I'll offer the whole hour, too. I'm here. I don't have any problem with that.
Wouldn't it be great? It'd be terrific.
I know they're trying to get some synergy going between the TV and the radio station.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the internets. And this would be part of that.
I think it'd be a great idea.
I like that.
Bring in the line of Meyer back, too.
I like that, too. I've got
too.
Some work to do here, and we'll get going this week.
We should, yes. You're back now and able to do this now. So that's good, Gary.
And what else has been happening with you as far as...
Oh. Just, I have an appearance on Channel 11 tonight. I co-edited did an editorial last week, an op-ed piece with Don Wibbles, the climate change scientist with whom I've been working. And so we're going to talk about climate change tonight on Channel 11. So we're taping a Skype thing with Phil Ponce at 4 o'clock on that. So, it's just, this has been a seminal. Well,
Chicago tonight, then we'll air it at 7.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so we're going to talk about, the fact there's no other side of the story. It's happening, and so we ought to take it seriously.
Okay, so that's tonight if you want to check that out.
Yeah, but other than that, it's been a good, I'm trying to think of anything out of the ordinary that's going on. We've just been busy.
Tell me this, now that we're into almost the middle of August, tell me the stats for this summer. It seems like it's been a pretty decent summer.
It really has. You know, the one thing we've been missing this summer are the really hot days. June was 2 degrees above normal. July was 3.5 below. And this month, is the latest read was a tenth of a degree below normal. That's a wash. So when you take the up June and the down July and the in the middle August, the temperatures, when you rank this summer, it kind of ranks in the middle. And of all the 143 summers for which we have records. And we still have several weeks to go yet. And it looks like, we're heading into a warmer cycle. So I think by the time this summer is all over, it'll be a statistical wash, pretty close to it, having started so cool, and at least in July. July was the 13th coolest July on record. But the big story is the lack of 90-degree days. We've only had three officially at O'Hare. I think that's right, Steve, right? Steve Kahn is here. And Bill's out sick today.
No, so, Schneider?
Yeah, Mr. Schneider is out sick today.
What a day to get sick.
I know.
A Monday, halfway decent day.
No, and Gary's back on top of that.
Did you pay him yesterday?
I'll have to check.
When you pay Bill, suddenly he gets sick.
I know. Yeah. Well, there might be an extra day or something off that he figures, hey, I'll take it or something. But I hope he's feeling all right. I don't know. I take him at his word when he said he's sick.
Well,
so if people see him out there, give me a call right away, if he's out doing the town.
Overall, how I am about summer. Got to have my heat.
I know.
Seems like it's been fairly decent. And
see, now that's good to hear you say that, because I've had people Facebooking saying, this is terrible, and I think it's great. We've been growing these little cherry tomatoes out on the out in the balcony. My gosh, they're growing like wildfire. So things are going pretty well.
I love those on a salad.
Oh, me too. And you know what else? I've been going to the farmer's market up in the neighborhood, and I just got an email from one of my viewers who's a farmer down in Will County. He said the crops are going great, but they're in a critical phase now, so they want to get rain, and it looks like we'll have plenty of that. This weekend's going to get real humid again. So it'll be warm and humid for the weekend for the water and air show, air and water show. And
you know why they call it that? Because that's what it is.
Probably because there's some air and water nearby where the jets fly, right?
That's my favorite quote from Spike Odell. You know why they call it an air and water show, darling?
What?
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why he's in the Walk of Fame.
He's got the walk.
There you go.
He walks the walk.
That's it.
He comes up with those great sayings.
Exactly.
Guys, everything.
Hey, and you mean to tell me you haven't come up with a couple of those, too? I mean, at least as good?
Tom.
I think yours are... The one I remember is the day that we had all those shootings one time. You said, come on, surely we can do better than that. And as horrible as that is.
And we have. You're welcome.
Gee.
The Bud Billiken Parade.
I saw that first time ever.
You know, and I was in
85-year history, they've had a shooting. And then some of the organizers are complaining that the local media highlighted that, and I'm thinking, it's the first shooting in your history. There is something to that. You can't ignore that.
But you know one thing, Gary? I was on our float for that, and it was great. I mean, people were out there having a good time. There was no sign that was going on. It might have been an isolated incident. But, you know, it all goes to show how, you know, a couple of bad apples spoil it for everybody else. But it was great. People were having a good time, and it was very warm and welcoming and everything else. So.
Well, it is a story, sadly, that this happened for
the first
time.
I know.
And I don't know what the heck we're going to do, but we've got to do something.
I know. It's, you don't know what to do.
But they're not listening to me at City Hall. I've been recommending things.
They love the Jerry Meyer show.
Jerry Miller show. Maybe they don't know who it is. That's the confusion.
Jerry Miller, that's right.
Because Rom calls me Jerry Miller.
Jerry Miller.
Big jerk. Get off my phone, you idiot.
And what was that author? Okay. Remember that one you talked to? What was she? What did
Linda
she call
Blair.
You?
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
Well, she called me Jerry, too, I think.
Yeah, of Exorcist fame.
If I have one more person on who has a book out and I ask them a question, they go, buy the book. I'm going to freaking strangle him right here.
Or gets your name wrong. I think that's the point where the interview, at least know who you're talking to. They're going to have to help you promote your book.
Whole buy the book, okay, we will, if you kind of give us a little something
sure.
about the book.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Remember you said, well, you'll have to read it. And
okay.
Well, so what's
you.
The point of this?
Exactly.
You know?
And here's a text. Cherry Tomatoes is a great stripper name.
Hey, that would be a great morning drive name, too, you know? Cherry Tomato?
Cherry Tomato, buddy.
Hello. Right.
All right, Tom, I think I got you broken in a little bit,
Gary,
for the rest of the week.
It's great to have you back. And you too, Elton. And I'll tell you guys, good to have you back. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, Gary.
T. Skilling on the Big Niner over there. Soon to be expanded after Labor Day.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
What are his hours? I mean, he's literally going to be working 24 hours a day.
Somebody texted me on that and said, now he's going to be working 23 hours? Pretty much, because he doesn't get home. He leaves after midnight. Gets home probably by 1.
Right.
And he gets back a little snack. And he's there by 8 o'clock, 8:30 every morning. I think they're trying to squeeze his personal life completely out of the picture.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job of it.
Well, he signed that contract. They want to get every dollar out of him.
I said if they got him for this number that I think they got him for and they're paying him by the hour, they're making out. He's making about $3 an hour.
Yeah.
312-521-8600. Text and phone number. You want to drop in on the program? Well, no more music. That was ended right before vacation.
Oops.
Because they don't want to pay the licensing fees, which is fine. I know it's not a music show. Hasn't been. I thought because of this having a little more freedom, I could throw some music in every now and then. Doesn't really hurt anything. Wasn't that overwhelming. It was a couple songs here and there.
4 or 5 minutes a shot every hour.
But that's done.
Yeah, I didn't bring the iPod back, no.
Well, don't need to.
Yeah, I know.
Unless there's some comedy bits on there that you want to
fire. Well, there are a few.
Up.
I've got some Ernie Kovacs. I've got some Woody Allen.
That's terrific. Anything from this century? Doesn't sound like it.
Well, like who?
So you went to Russia?
Yeah, we went on a cruise to the Baltic. So that includes and Scandinavia. So we went to Norway and Finland and Sweden and Denmark and Estonia and Russia and Berlin.
So, how's Berlin? I've always heard that you got to go to Berlin.
It's very cool, but it is very weird because, you know, they're still getting, you know, the wall is up in a few spots for historical value. And then they have cobblestones in the streets where the actual wall was.
Okay, explain this to me. As a kid, I could not figure out why.
I asked the question.
All right.
Yes, I know where you're going.
Here's what I thought as a kid.
I know where you're going.
Well, if they have a wall, is it all the way across the country? And why, if it isn't, don't you just go to the end and go around?
So we talked about that. I used your line with the tour guide. I said, so why can't you just go around the corner? And she said, no, it was around
the circle.
No, it was all around the entire West Berlin. So it wasn't just a straight wall. It went around the entire, they split Berlin in half, and they went from the middle to where the end is.
From border to border.
On one side it was open, but it was almost like a little, like it's its own little state.
Okay.
And the wall went, it was 100 and some miles.
And so it was in a circle, basically.
Yeah, so the wall was in a circle. But it wasn't a straight line, Because basically, I guess what Stalin did when they decided to break this up, Stalin wanted certain stuff on his side, the Russian side.
So to get that, he made the wall go zigging and zagging.
So it was all zigging and zagging because he wanted, like, all the museums.
All right.
And
so
all,
go right, go left, go right.
Like, you know that Brandenburg Wall where Reagan gave the speech?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the funny thing is Reagan gave that speech from the back. It's the back of the gate. Because that was the part that was in West Berlin. The other side,
right. He couldn't go in there.
Dare to let me in.
Yeah, but what's so strange is you talk to some of the people there, and we had the tour guide was probably in her late 40s, early 50s. So she lived there during the wall, and so you ask her, like, well, how did you do this? And she didn't really act like it was a big deal.
They just got used to it.
Yeah, and the best part, and she wasn't kind of joking. She said, well, what was good about living here is that you never really feared if someone would steal your car, because where would they take it? You couldn't get out. Yeah,
that's a positive.
But it was a very interesting because we went to St. Petersburg in Russia. And so, you know, our guide, once again, was very, you know, proud of her city. And you asked about communism, and once again, she had to acknowledge it, but didn't really say it was terrible. And then we asked about, well, how do you feel about Vladimir Putin? And she almost felt like, is this guy a plant from the KGB?
That's so many questions.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had you trailed after that.
And so she said, well, he gives very good speeches, and he wears a suit, and he looks very nice. And so then I said, well, didn't he just get divorced? Well, yes, but
were you dominating the whole freaking tour group?
Well,
how many questions did you ask this woman? How clean is Berlin? Clean? Is it aesthetically pleasing?
Yeah, so Berlin was very cool. So much of it is new, and yet they tried to build it back because it was bombed. So a lot of the buildings there have the original plans of the original older buildings. But they all got bombed out, so the buildings are only 40 or 50 years old, but they look like they're 200 years old or 300 years old.
Oh, yeah, you distress them. They can do that, yeah.
But it's very cool. I mean, it's a very metropolitan area, very busy, good restaurants, cool to walk around.
Great nightlife.
Nice nightlife. But it was just really interesting because you go, and they still have that Checkpoint Charlie up where the...
And you can just go through there for fun.
So you go there, you take a picture.
Hit me! I'm going into East Berlin.
Yeah. Hit me! And the funny thing is, on one side of Checkpoint Charlie, even though it's not used anymore, obviously, they have a picture of a soldier. So when you're on the American side, you look up and you see a picture of an American soldier. And when you go on the what would have been the communist side, you see a communist soldier
with those
picture.
Big jippy pop hats.
Oh yeah, you could buy those hats too.
I should have told you. I would have wanted one of those.
I could have bought a Lenin bust. They still are selling that. And then we were sitting outside of the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg, and a guy's got the T-shirts that said, the party's over.
Okay. Oh, I wanted one of those.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted one of those Jiffy Pop hats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then they had some really actually cool ones that were legit. And then, of course, they had, like, the touristy... like schlocky ones that you could buy for, 100 rubles, and that and actually had the Russian, like the old sickle.
Hammer and sickle.
So it's like, I don't know if they have completely...
No, they never do.
...given up on that, but it was very, and you had said you had great weather in New York and L.A., and we had amazing weather, too.
Yeah. New York, everywhere we went, so that was nice.
No, it was very interesting just to see, because there's so little that we know about that part of the world.
Well, I haven't seen all of America yet, so I'm going to stay here until I do, and then I'll branch out.
It was cool. I mean, I don't know. I would love to see what Moscow is like, because that's got to even
that looks
more,
like a more an amusement park. All those onion turrets.
Well, that's what they had all throughout St. Petersburg too. That same thing.
That's their thing.
But the St. Petersburg, I'm wondering, because this was the opulence that this was like Versailles. You've been to Versailles,
yes.
In France. Okay. Which is now the Hermitage Museum, which is one of the biggest museums in the world. This Winter Palace had 1,000 rooms. I mean, then we went out to this other palace, the Peterhof, and it's got these ridiculous fountains. And so, once again, I asked the woman.
Here we go.
I said, well, was it basically the revolution, just a reaction to this this is like the Thurston Howell III on steroids. Well, not really. And it's like, come on, the peasants were dying, and these people were living this. They had 1,000 rooms.
I was surprised to hear that this didn't happen. That she at some point went, excuse me, she calls somebody, and then two guys come over and beat the hell out of her.
Well, the best is she had me for 2 days because we were in St. We actually we docked the ship, so we were there for 2 days.
Imagine.
So we had the same Ludwina. Ludwina was her name.
I'd love to hear her comments to her friends after.
I took a picture of Ludwina.
God, I hate America.
But what's so funny was I actually got a sense that it was, like you were saying, how New York looked a little dirty this time.
Yeah.
St. Petersburg, I'm wondering if it was just one big kind of propaganda, because there are a lot of American tourists and tourists in general coming there now.
Then it's squeaky clean?
It looks almost like an Epcot Center. It's too clean. Everything's painted.
Yeah,
there's flowers everywhere. It looks,
hey,
you know.
That's what you got to do.
Want mess and mayhem? Go to Ukraine.
It was gorgeous, though. I mean, I have to say, it was. I didn't expect it, because when they docked the ship, we got on this bus, and it was. We went through these initial neighborhoods, and it looked like the stuff that you would expect a communist regime to have, like these big, just concrete, flat, almost like tenements, you know, like the projects here.
Boxy jungles.
Yeah, really. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, what are we going to do here for 2 days? You know what I mean?
I'm sure you'll come up with some questions.
And then all of a sudden, we make this turn. And then it's just like, oh, my gosh, there's this beautiful big river
again,
right in the middle.
If you land at Midway and come down Cicero to the Stevenson and then take
that's
the
exactly
Stevenson in for the first time,
that's
what
exactly
are your thoughts?
What it is. It was a guy selling socks.
That's why I say you've got to brighten that up until they get downtown.
Yeah,
rodents with dust all over them.
Yeah, put some fake cardboard whatever up.
It was very that part was very depressing. And, of course, my joke about in my country, party comes to you went over very well. I was doing all my
Ludmilla had never heard that.
I was doing all my Yakov Smirnoff jokes. So that
really,
was going
I'm sure you're
well.
Being trailed here now.
And then I wore my little Trotsky hat, you know, that little black hat with the mm-hmm. black hat with the brim. So I was wearing that. So people said, "Where did you get that? You look like a communist." And I wore a red shirt.
This is why they hate us. Right here. Why the Al-Qaeda hate us? Why communists hate us?
And he changed his glasses like seven times in one bus trip.
Full of glasses.
I did. In fact, everybody on the ship said, oh, there's the guy with the hat.
Great.
Run away.
And then we beat him senseless until he dropped all his glasses.
Yeah. No, but we had fun.
Did you tip her extra?
I did. I gave her 500 rubles.
Which is what, 30 cents? Or did you throw, what other, they have rubles, but are they broken down into, like we have dimes, quarters, nickels, and did you throw those on the ground?
I did throw a few kroners on the ground.
Kroners.
Because that was in Denmark, because I didn't know, they have a hole in the middle, which is kind of cool, and it was only like, you know, a 40 cents.
Sure.
So what am I going to do with a kroner?
Dust it.
Turn it into fashion jewelry.
But I found out that Leslie picked it up after I threw it.
She does. I went all the way there.
Here in the Tribune parking lot.
Find a kroner, pick it up all that day. You'll have good luck.
Leslie, you had that story about the bank robber in Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
Was he shot in the arm?
No, a teller was shot in the arm.
He shot a teller.
Right. And then took off on foot.
Okay, and he handed, do we know the mechanics of the robbery? He handed a note. She didn't want to give
him anything?
I don't
know how he, you know, went about procuring the cash, but he did make off with some cash, they're saying.
See, my invention, you got the trap door right in front of the teller's booth. She hits a button before he's got his weapon. He's down in a little holding cell.
That's really not a bad idea.
Thank you.
It really isn't.
Thank you.
You know, I was watching that show. I don't know if you ever watched it yet, The Leftovers. It's on HBO.
I've seen a little bit of it.
Okay, yesterday's episode, the lead character has a dream, and he's walking out, and there's something inside a mailbox trying to get out. And he walks up to it. It winds up being a dog. But at first, you think it's a person.
Thank you.
And I'm like, oh.
I got to invoice the leftovers
yes.
now.
Yes.
Yep.
is the text and phone number. Might as well play the top of the hour before we get started.
Spartans! What is your profession?
As of, well, I thought after 3 o'clock, but I want to start next hour with the Blackhawks horns. You have those still, brief? Yeah, let's do that at the top of the hour just to mix it up a little bit for a while. See how that plays, and then I'll maybe add some other things.
They start in 2 months.
Hockey's back in 2 months?
And probably the, you know, preseason starts in September.
Okay, fine with me.
I'm just saying, can you believe it?
Well, I hate to have to admit, decide that summer it might be drawing to a close, but when you see all this football going on,
oh, yeah,
it's hard to push it away. And that, and when you see the days getting a bit shorter.
Oh, although, wow, it was really weird to see the sun going down around 8:15.
I try to hold on as long as I can, but I know September's coming, and then you know what comes after that. I'm starting to see, and I'm sure you are too, the catalogs that are already featuring predominant Halloween stuff, because they figure they got to go for that now. And then they'll sneak in the back of that some Christmas stuff. Because when it hits Labor Day, and I can't believe that we're that close. It just seems like it started a few weeks ago.
Don't you remember January? I mean, I still remember January. Still, this year is almost over.
Still, right, thawing out from February and March.
We're going to be putting up Christmas
stuff. Let's not push it. I got this text, and I don't know quite what to make of it. Do you guys hear how you talk about traveling all the time? You know, I haven't had a vacation for over 7 years. Just saying, if you're trying to relate to your audience, what am I supposed to do?
Well,
I don't know what that means altogether. That,
all right, so we can't say that we went on a vacation? We're gone for 2 weeks.
I guess I should have done a staycation. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well.
And I don't travel.
Okay, I had a horrible time.
Extensively as I'd like to be honest. I think I should travel more. I guess you experience things if you get out and see what's going on. And you come back and you have a new appreciation or whatever you have for where you live.
I was
of course, I just have to watch the news to see that when they show West Africa. But
hey,
I went to Pittsburgh 1 week this year. Kill me.
Hey, I was happy to come back. I had a great time on vacation, but I had a better time when I checked my mail and found out that I got my ComEd rating for my kilowatts used. Great. Two smiley faces.
And what's the highest?
My neighbors are using 1,070 kilowatts. My most efficient neighbors are using 626 kilowatts, and I only used 578.
No. I think that's an invasion of privacy to rat on your neighbors like that and their bill. How much was your bill?
I don't know what the bill was, but I used 8% less than my most efficient neighbor.
So that was a separate notice.
That's a separate notice that comes in. Now, the sad part is, I am told in this that this is the last paper one I will receive.
Now it's all electronic.
I could get it electronically, but I don't want it. This, to me, was like a cool report card.
And you put them in a scrapbook?
Oh, I have them all.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
Jill?
Gary, how was your vacation?
It was very nice. I didn't travel anywhere.
No, you big faker. I'm glad you're back. I wanted to tell you, though, this is Jill the mail lady. I deliver a quilting fabric store, and they're lovely ladies, but because they're making projects, they're always 6 months ahead. I've been looking at Christmas for 6 weeks already. It makes me crazy.
I understand there has to be a lead time with certain things. Although,
right,
they start the back-to-school sales probably the first week of July. And these kids have just gotten out a week or two before that.
They're trying to get you to buy it. They want you to buy it up. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I like how they promote these clothes for kids back to school. And it looks like the only reason to go to school is to be a fashion icon. They're showing these kids parading around and thinking, that's why you're going to school? To show off your clothing? I remember wearing a uniform and just buckling down and learning something. But now it's am I going and establishing some kind of fashion statement?
Yeah, we went to Lutheran school, and I'm telling you, that uniform, that's probably why I'm a mail lady. I got to have a uniform on. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. It's a T-shirt. Yeah.
I know. You get used to it. I went to 8 years of Catholic grammar school and had a uniform every day. It made it simple.
Love it.
Blue
I love
shirt
it, Gary.
And tie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have the cross tie or the long tie?
Both. First, when I lived in the city, long tie, and then we moved to the suburbs. I did that little button cross
tie. Yeah, with the little pearl button in the middle. Yeah, we had that.
I like the long tie.
Oh, yeah, we never had that. We went actually seventh, eighth grade, no tie. They got rid of the ties completely, which was really radical.
Do they do uniforms in Catholic grammar schools as much, or is that relaxed?
I think they still might. I would hope so, because that's part of how you knew between the public school kids and the Catholic school
kids.
Right,
that's how you separated them,
right.
And we liked it.
That's right.
We like a class system. Like to know who's doing what.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? Then you just look like everybody else. Remember when you went back to school? We used to go to get your pencils and your folders and your paste. We didn't go to get clothes.
No, I never. Well, I didn't have to. Again, I had a uniform.
Yeah, so, yeah, but.
And
I
that was
remember
the focus. And it was always kind of, for whatever reason, we really got off on getting those supplies.
Right, that's
going
what I'm
saying. Getting the supplies was a fun thing.
You got like a pencil holder.
I guess it was something.
You know, you got your new box of crayons with the the little sharpener in the back.
Right.
The 64 box. And
then after the first day, you just wanted to be done. Just wanted to go home, stay home, curl up in a fetal position.
Remember, did you cover your books?
Yeah.
Remember that you had to fold it that certain way? I used to love doing that.
But now, some of these schools are going all electronic. They won't even have paper books. And it'll all be on their tablet.
Wow, that would be wild.
Well, it's happening. And I wasn't here for Lollapalooza, although I was listening to it on satellite radio. They had a channel that was covering it.
Oh.
And I'm not trying to say this to be Roy Leonard, because I know he always talked about the Grateful Dead and stuff to make himself sound hip. And I hope I don't come off like this, but I
Sugar
actually,
Gear?
I did like a lot of the music. And I'm not saying that I'm going to go and be in the middle of a mosh pit or anything. But I did find a lot of the music enjoyable.
Oh. So you listened to it live?
Yes.
Or they were playing?
They were doing a live feed from Chicago.
Cool.
And
I guess it rained one day.
Did it?
Like. Yeah, that's what Aaron went, our associate producer.
Associate producer, her comment was that she couldn't see things. Well, with all those people, if you can get within a block of the stage, you're lucky, or you have to get there fairly early and camp out. So that doesn't seem to be something I complain about, because I go with that attitude. I'm not going to see anything. I might hear it.
It's an event.
Now, let me ask you this, Aaron, if you could strap into a microphone. They have the stages, so one is active on one end of the park and hopefully far enough away at the other end where you don't have the music clashing. Did you find that to be true, or was there music clashing?
No music was clashing. It's a really, really big park, so.
Is it? I've never seen it, but I've seen pictures.
But they have more than two stages.
They have multiple stages, and some are going at the same time, but I guess they try to separate it so it doesn't completely collide in the middle.
Yeah, it took me like almost 30 minutes to walk from one end to the other.
Yep, that's a big park. And your overall assessment was you couldn't see the stage, but you enjoyed the whole event?
It was nice from below, the crowd.
Yeah.
Good noise, good music.
Good noise.
Good noise.
That's what they say.
That's important.
We got the good noise over there at Grant Park.
Lollapalooza, best noise in the country.
And I was back on Saturday between the weeks just to get some clean underwear, and was driving down Lakeshore, and it's funny how they set this thing up, because they don't want anybody getting in for free. So they've got these 8-foot-high fences right at the edge, not at the sidewalk, it's on the curb of Lakeshore Drive, right?
Yeah.
So that's your first barrier, and then they have a shorter fence right at the edge of Grant Park. So if you get over that, at least they can maybe contain you between the two before they shoot you.
So it's like the Berlin Wall.
That isn't enough. On the other side, on the east side of Lakeshore Drive, they lined all of that area right at the curb with fences all the way down. So if you were even thinking about coming from the sidewalk on the east part of Lakeshore Drive, forget it.
Well, they've had some problems with people jumping over.
Good luck now, because they've got at least three fences before you're dead. You're not getting in there for free.
Well, what the heck? I mean, it's what, $200-$300 for a 3-day pass?
But think about that. We have and talked about this. You pay $300 for how many acts you can absorb, and you could have one act come to the United Center and charge $350.
The Stones were charging $600,
yes.
And that was for the best seat in the house.
This is a bargain compared to some of these acts that charge multiple hundreds.
There's hundreds. I mean, there's literally 70-some bands, I think, over the 3-day period.
I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people really are going to listen to the music, though. Isn't it more of an event? Because didn't you say you went one year?
Yeah, but we were invited to sit on, they had, I guess they still have them, these sky boxes, if you will.
Oh, that's a big thing now.
And they got a porch.
Yeah.
And indoor bar.
Right, but were you listening to the music? Or were
it was Lady Gaga. And I could not believe the filth coming out of this woman's mouth. I was appalled.
Because now they're saying that a lot of these festivals, a lot of people are complaining now because a lot of the festivals are creating VIP sections for $500 or $600 or $700. And so now people are going into that. So that whole festival kind of cool, hippie-ish thing
that,
is...
That corporate America is taking over.
Yeah, it's taking
this.
Over like Coachella and a lot of these Bonnaroos, like all these, you know, these hipster...
I just want to go and see the Arctic Monkeys and be happy.
Is a little Foster the People.
Yes. Is that so bad? Little Kings of Leon.
Parquet Courts.
Wow, we've been listening to XRT, haven't we?
Oh, they must have been in their glory.
Oh, that's their Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean...
But the reason I'm bringing Lollapalooza up at all, I know it's over a week ago, apparently a Chicago man sent a camera-equipped drone over Lollapalooza, and then he got a stern talking to from the FAA.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't charged with anything, just that, hey.
Because those can't fly legally?
Well, they have some restrictions, yes. And it says, according to FAA guidelines, unmanned aircraft operators do not need FAA clearance to fly a drone or model aircraft if the intent is purely for hobby or recreation. A clearance is needed for commercial purposes.
Well, how are they going to change that if Jeff Bezos wants to do that whole, you know, delivery?
Well,
thing?
That's, I think, part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And why they're concerned, because you got all these things delivering pizzas and then flying into commercial aircraft. Just to get somebody's pizza there.
And then remember, just before we left, there was a woman complaining that some guys were flying over with cameras while she was on the beach.
Right, topless. You know that's going to be the main purpose. That's what drove the sales of VHS initially and the internet. It's always naked people. And this will be no different. You get a better angle with the drone, that's what you're going to use it for, then sell those videos.
I mean, you got guys putting mirrors on their, how do they do that? Where they look up the woman's skirts? Don't they do
the shoe cameras?
The shoe camera, yeah.
Right. Well, this guy's name, his last name is Roman, couldn't immediately be reached. A day earlier, he told Red Eye he shot the videos for fun at the concerts and doesn't believe he put anyone in danger getting the footage, explaining the aircraft was about 230 feet in the air. While the flight height meets FAA standards, the highest the aircraft is allowed to go is 400 feet. Sending it over a crowded park may be in question. Federal aviation guidelines call for selecting an operating site that is of sufficient distance from populated areas, and those include parks, schools, hospitals, churches. Roman said his remote-controlled DJI Phantom 2 quadcopter drone includes several safety features, including an automated system for sending the aircraft back to the operator if the power or signal is lost.
How does it get back if it loses its powers? Then it's going to fall.
I don't know. But maybe they told them that had a feature like that, even though it's bogus. The DJI Phantom 2 quadcopter drone. Now, wouldn't that look nice under the Christmas tree?
Now, that's a present. That's a cool thing to play with on Christmas Day. You see a bunch of those flying around, you know what people got.
My God, what is going on in the Gary Meyer nether region? I don't think I have bought the amount of underwear that you buy in one year in my entire life. I didn't buy any underwear. I
got new ones.
Just got clean.
So did you actually get 24-hour service? Or like did you get the clothes that you used on part one of your trip?
No, we came home.
Dumped.
I had
whole new wardrobe for so you had your L.A.
Repack, get on the plane the next day.
So you had your flowing blouses and your, like,
right.
Your Hawaiian shirts for L.A.
My caftan.
Yeah, you had no socks in L.A. You just wore your leather, like, you know, shoes, no socks.
Right.
White pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you went to New York a little more.
Well, that went trendy. Total beachy for the most part because it was mostly beach.
Shorts?
Yeah.
Although, you wore shorts.
Here's what happened.
Wow.
And I did my best not to expose a lot of, because I'll burn. I burned like a match head. And I stayed pretty much in the shade all the time when I could. And the bottom of my legs from my knee down got burned.
Oh.
So then I had to wear long pants
because
for most of the rest of the day.
Stand.
Yeah, and it was burned. I mean, if it got any more sun, it would have been painful.
Did you have like a big floppy hat on or anything?
No.
Like Maud?
Just that one I got at Wrigley about 20 years ago.
Hey!
On floppy hat day. And big forehead day or whatever it was. And I wore that.
So you literally would go to the beach every day?
Yes. Well, when you're in a beach community, that's pretty much what you got to do.
Because there's really much.
Yeah, that and then go to dinner. Those are your options.
Because a little town has a few antique shops type of thing, right?
Exactly.
You know, some places to get some soaps and some potpourri.
I got a refrigerator magnet. I'm going to put on my refrigerator in my office. It says Montauk, New York. This is the end, because you're at the end of Long Island. That's
right,
pretty much northern tip.
Yeah.
And then the name of the store is Vintage Pink.
There you go.
So I got that. They had a bunch of incense, but I thought, I'm not going to buy that, because I'll put it in my luggage, and then when I shut it, it'll snap every one of these little things, because I pack to the brim. I make sure, because I don't take that much luggage.
Right.
It's all carry-on. Carry-on or go home. No, I don't check.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even on a week trip.
Yes, I can. In summer clothes, you can get away with that. You don't have as much bulk.
But still, you've got your...
My daughter says the same thing. She looks at my suitcase and she goes, you have everything in there?
Right.
I go,
because what has she got, like this giant thing?
Well, yeah. Well, girl's got it.
Right. Yeah.
Here's where you get really tight. Shoes.
Yeah.
And I only bring the shoes I have on, and then I'll bring an extra pair of beachwear type shoes. That's it. Because I'm not going to get... The shoes take up all that space.
Well, now, how do you, is it tough for you to close it?
No, I don't like to.
You don't do the sit down. The sit down.
No, when I have that problem, I start taking stuff out because I don't like to force it.
So now you're,
because I know something's going to get smashed.
Now you do have the cool like steel luggage, right?
Yes.
But does that? But it's not just a briefcase.
No, that's a luggage piece.
So it actually looks
it's
like
got
the
wheels
like
and a handle.
So it looks like a carry-on luggage.
Got wheels and a handle.
All right.
Thank you. Out the door.
All right. So it is luggage. It's luggage. It's not.
No, it's not a cardboard
box. Because I'm thinking of you walking around with that like a briefcase.
No, I don't have the capacity to get down to that.
Okay.
No, but I do get quite compact.
Does everybody do that in your family or just you?
Just me, pretty much.
Well, why? If they have to check theirs, don't you have to go to the baggage claim?
Yes. But I just don't want to be bothered with...
But you have to get it anyway.
That's my stuff.
But you're going down there.
I know.
You're not saving time.
There's something about I just want my stuff on the overhead bin. Okay?
Do wheels first?
Huh?
How do you put it in?
They tell you, wheels first.
Wheels first.
I've got to tell you, we flew American, and their deal is they're adding one new plane every week. And these planes that we were on look pretty new.
The new ones, yeah.
Yeah, the new 737s.
Those are nice.
Yeah. So
although,
that's nice.
What I don't like about them, did you have the air conditioning thing that's just, that instead of that little nozzle, it's just that round thing?
Yeah.
Doesn't blow as much air.
Not that's fine, because it seems like they always keep it very cold in these planes anyway. I know you have that problem, but I don't have that problem.
You said you had a celebrity sighting.
I did, and get on the plane, and Melissa McCarthy, Chicago's very own.
Yeah. The talented McCarthy.
Ouch. And I thought, wow, that's cool.
Now, did you recognize her right away?
Because
I don't think I would, to be honest with you.
My daughter did. Because I wasn't paying attention, one of those things. Although I saw Daniel Radcliffe at a bar in L.A., and I recognized him, and my daughter didn't notice when he walked by.
Huh.
Harry, my man, how you doing? Saw Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, and Magic Johnson.
Whoa!
Is that a Magic Johnson brunch?
Is that what it was called?
Watch it.
Is that what it's called?
They should. That would really draw the people. I'll tell you what.
They have like a big liver pate in the shape of a basketball?
That's what it would be. And he was there with a big group.
Was Cookie there?
Cookie was there because when he left, he goes, "See, thank you, Cookie." I thought you were married to her. That seemed a little too formal.
I don't. That's amazing that they're still married, considering all that has gone on.
Yeah.
But
And I just thought this guy was...
Is he tall? He's big.
Yes, he is. That's, he's a tall drink of water. And here he is, the guy that was the center of the steaming V with Sterling.
Right. And he was the black.
If he wasn't with his family in the brunch situation, I would have loved to have gotten a picture and posted that and went, eat this, Donald Sterling, right there.
Why is Gary with the blacks?
Why at the brunch? At the black brunch.
The black brunch.
With the bacon and everything. It's not right. And Daniel Radcliffe, speaking of opposite ends of the spectrum, he's a small drink of water.
Yeah, you see him on the red carpet, and he looks very... Yeah, he's, the women he's with are always plus, much taller than him.
So I'm sitting at the bar with my daughter, well, bar, restaurant-y thing, and this tall guy walks in, or at least compared to Daniel Radcliffe.
Everybody's tall.
And then it's Daniel, and then another guy. Maybe he should go with shorter guys, because these guys were tall, and he was in the middle of them.
He didn't have his disappearing cloak on, right?
I saw him the whole time.
And pawed his wand. Oh.
So I thought, well, I want to say hello to Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And invite her on the show. And so we got off the plane. I introduced myself. And she said, I listened to you growing up.
That makes sense.
You're too young. I do. You're too young.
Well, and that makes sense because she had to have been raised. Was she
Plainfield?
Plainfield,
yeah. Family's still out there. And said, hey, I'd love to have you on the show. She goes, I'd love to be on, and da-da-da. She could not have been nicer. Wow. And this woman is a major movie star and TV star.
I mean, her show, that Mike and Molly show,
yes, that
is a bonnet. She'd be a big star with just that.
But not,
forget Bridesmaids and The Heat or whatever she was in. You know, and
yeah, Tammy and Tammy, all these other ones. I mean, she's a big star.
Is she by herself?
Yes. Probably, I didn't ask what she was doing. It's none of my business, but I assume she's visiting family.
So this was on the way home?
From the way back from L.A. to Chicago, yeah.
Oh. Well, that's cool. That's always cool to have a little celebrity sighting in the
plane. Well, of that caliber. This is the top here.
So does she do anything while she's on the plane?
Well, what does she do?
My point is she trying to be noticed?
No, not at all.
Steward?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get the impression that anybody recognized her. Because when some of these people dress down, I mean, you're not looking for somebody. And you don't have the radar on, so you don't see them.
So were you sitting near her?
A few rows back.
So you really couldn't watch her.
Well, when I did watch her, she was watching, looked like a movie on her iPad.
That's the best part. Did you, because you like the international flight? I watched 8 movies.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I haven't watched that many movies in 5 years.
And the movie they showed on the way out was Divergent.
Oh,
and about 20 minutes in, I thought, this is nothing. I don't want to see that. And on the way back, it was Rio 2. I thought, nah.
I saw that Grand Puda, Budapest Hotel.
I like the Grand Puda as a movie on a flight. Hey, put on Grand Puda.
Well, that's the porn version.
Yeah, who's got Grand Puda that we can see here?
And Wolf of Wall Street was on. I watched
Wait a minute.
That.
The first one?
The Grand Budapest Hotel with Ralph Fiennes. That's a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking of this other one, this restaurant movie that's out now.
That one looks cool, though. 100-mile journey or something?
No, it's 100 feet, I think. They're right across from each other. Other one, this Wes Anderson movie, good?
Yeah, it's Bill Murray. There's a million. There's like Edward Norton, Bill Murray, a million cameos in it. Wes Anderson, who did Rushmore with Bill Murray. And
they showed The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, and there's huge nudity on that. That was
on your little computer.
No, this was the thing in your seat. You know, on, like,
a seat back.
The seat, the little screen in the seat behind, in front of me. That's where
it's
screen
in
is.
The seat back.
Yeah, with the little remote and everything. Because that's an international flight, so they have that. But I was surprised because there's... Huge nudity.
I hear there are some scenes in there that are
the opening
crazy
scene.
Bizarre.
The opening scene is he's doing cocaine off of a woman's butt.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean that's
what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's how it starts.
Yeah, I said it.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the A word, but no. Yeah, I mean it was like woof. I thought because usually they usually say before those movies on a plane they usually say this has been edited for content,
right? Because they'll cut all that stuff out. But
I guess when you're going international,
hey, they figure people are freer thinkers.
Hey, half the movies that are made in Sweden are all X. So
well, they figured this crowd is up for it.
Because we flew to Amsterdam. So they're like,
oh,
what the heck?
Please. They were serving marijuana at your seat. Would you like a marijuana turnover with that?
We had the brownies, which was nice. They gave me the hot towel and a brownie.
Yeah.
Were there kids on the flight? Could you see children around you?
Yes, there were. I was shocked to see, because there were a lot of R-rated movies on there. And that
and,
one.
And not edited.
I told you. I saw the opening scene.
I know you told me that, but I'm going to go back and ask you.
I can't believe it. No, I mean, there was, in fact, what was another movie I watched? About 7 or 8, that Llewyn Davis movie.
Remember how was that?
It wasn't very good.
Slow. Yeah. Everybody says it's slow.
And not only was it slow, it was kind of cool from a music standpoint. I like music, but when it ended, I was like, it's over? What?
That's it?
What? It was completely, I mean, I could see why it did not live up to the...
I think you're better off bringing movies on your own iPad, right?
Yeah.
And just if you're doing a real long flight. And plus your own headphones. I kept taking the earbuds they gave me. Oh, one ear wouldn't work. I must have 10 of those in my briefcase
now. I know.
Now.
I threw some of those
out. Not briefcase or what you call, I call it luggage. It's not a briefcase.
So while you guys were globetrotting, I went to Yorktown. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy in a regular theater.
94 million.
Had the glasses, gave them back afterward, you know, because we recycle.
Them? You didn't keep them?
No.
She's relating to the people. See, by talking about international filming, that doesn't do it. All right, I got Leslie on board, but Craig.
It's Greg.
I'm sorry, it's Greg. Craig is my one-time producer, not here today, on my mind. Greg, go ahead.
I was just going to say I was in L.A. last week for a film festival. I helped produce an independent movie, and we got accepted to the Imagine Awards, and I'm not really an L.A. guy, but I was out there, and it's just weird, you know, you're not really looking for celebrities, and all of a sudden I saw Norman Lear and Al Madrigal from The Daily Show and Fred Armisen at these awards, and you just feel kind of weird, like, do you go up and talk to them, or just keep your head down and not be a nuisance, but it was a fun time, and I'd like to plug the movie if possible.
Sure.
It's available online. If you go to coyotethemovie.com, you can find out how to watch it online.
Coyote the Movie.
Yeah. The name of the movie is actually just Coyote, but it's gotten some pretty good critical acclaim, but we're still trying to make our money back through VOD purchases and things like that.
Okay. And write that down, Aaron, please, because I'd like to take a look at that. And I hope that works well for you.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Greg.
I would think Melissa McCarthy at this point would still want to be recognized.
Well, this beach house that we rented with some family members, so they had a bunch of magazines on a table there, and I pick up the Rolling Stone from last month, and she's on the cover.
Right.
And I had not seen that. So I thought, oh, this is nice. I'll read this article. And if I'm that big of a star, I'd like at least a couple people to say, hey, how are you?
Like, you didn't see her getting up to the bathroom to go too many, like, inordinate amount of time so people would recognize her?
No, not at all. And like I said, could not have been nicer. Just very approachable. And I was, as I've said on this show, she should have gotten the Academy Award for Bridesmaids. That performance is brilliant and hysterical. And I told her that. She was,
how long did it take you to think of that question? Did it take you a while?
No.
Did you study it?
I didn't have time because...
She didn't get up and leave?
No.
Like James Caan?
James Caan was not at the lunch area I was at this year. I was all ready to go with him.
And did Daniel Radcliffe snub you as well?
My daughter and I were talking to the waitress, and she was engaged, and when I saw him, I was going to say something. But I just thought I'd have to disengage with this conversation. Daniel! Yo!
He just got on his broom and flew away.
Hey, butter!
What is he in? Gildendorf? What's his house? You know, in the movie?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor. Right.
And he was at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Is that where he was?
I'm assuming. And then he's got this movie that just came out that he was promoting, too. So he was all over the place.
His little rom-com.
And I guess it did well over the weekend?
Yeah. They're saying it's better than the critics made it out to be.
Okay.
Hey, did I tell you that I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy?
How was it?
We got a medium popcorn, not a small, this time, a medium.
Look out.
Yeah, it was wild.
How was the movie?
It was a hoot. It was everything I want in a sci-fi romp.
Really?
Absolutely amazing.
I mean, it's amazing. The guy now, this Chris Pratt, who's like a secondary player on Parks and Recreation, is now one of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Oh, and there better be more. I mean, we want more Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is that the one with the raccoon? Or
yeah.
That's Bradley Cooper's
voice. Bradley
Cooper's
the voice.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Groot. And everybody loves Groot.
And isn't what's his name in that, too? The Rock?
No, it's the voice is the guy who was the voice of Iron Giant. The bald-headed.
Don't guess. Don't.
The Rock is in that.
He's in that Hercules movie, isn't he? Isn't he Hercules?
Yeah.
You don't think The Rock is in there?
No, he's not. But some
Hercules.
Other wrestler, Batista, who is a wrestler, was in there.
The lion the size of a Chrysler? I'm sure that's computer generated. He's jumping on him. That's what you're thinking of.
That was awesome.
Gary Meyer at 312-521-8600. That is the text and the phone number back from vacation. Got some texts here concerning the movie Wolf of Wall Street. It says here the opening scene was them throwing midgets into a dartboard.
Okay.
This was shown on an airplane.
That was shown.
They did?
They showed the midgets. They showed the whole movie. They had to.
Which is kind of interesting in that, as we mentioned earlier, for airplane use, they would usually edit these movies if they had some particularly rough scenes, if you will.
And, you know, the flight was not an over, it wasn't a red eye or anything. I mean, our flight was at
Blue eye, as it turned out.
It was 4 in the afternoon, so it wasn't
and that's not when you want to see that. For evening.
No, but it's not like you'd say, well, you know, the little kids are going to be sleeping anyway because it's 10 o'clock and, you know, it's 2 in the morning or whatever as you're flying. This was certainly within a time where people would lie awake.
Okay.
Still be able to watch a movie.
Here's the text. He was putting coke into a woman's butt, Bob.
Okay. In and it, around it,
that. They didn't edit that out either.
Yeah, his face was buried there.
Okay. In a lighter note, did either of you get an Auntie Anne's pretzel at the airport? I have to tell you, when I walked by the stand at LaGuardia yesterday.
It's right there, too.
Yes.
Yeah, and right when you get there, off in the D section.
In the D section.
Yeah.
For those of you who are looking, it's in the D section.
Yeah, by gate D.
By gate D.
Yeah.
But the line was too long.
Oh.
So I think the Auntie Anne's, Annie or Anne's?
Auntie Anne.
Auntie Anne's.
Yes.
Pretzel and not just the pretzel,
the dog.
The dog.
The hot dog in
the
pretzel.
Pretzel roll.
Yeah.
That is supposedly. I haven't had that yet.
No, I didn't.
That's your money shot.
Yeah, I had one of those because we did a layover at JFK on the way home in New York, the other New York airport, and that was there.
And what gate is that?
Well, that was Terminal 4. We landed in, then had to go to Terminal 2 for domestic and international.
Did you see, Gary, Aunt Jemima's great-grandsons have sued Quaker Oats for $2 billion? Can you find that story, Aaron, please? Print that out.
Isn't there a statute of limitations on this?
What? Right. What is the reason now? She's been on that box for 50, 60 years?
If not longer.
Maybe they did get something and then it ran out and now they're trying. I don't know.
Reparation.
All right. 312-521-8600. Groot is Vin Diesel.
Oh, Vin Diesel. All right. I knew it was somebody
what is
with
that
a bald
again?
Head. That was the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And he plays that.
I guess he plays that, yeah. I knew there was some bald guy in there.
Some bald guy.
Who was kind of muscular.
All right. I have to say that the best invention in the last, and I don't know when it came out officially for mass use, the GPS. How we got around and didn't kill each other when we left our native cities and states is beyond me. When we were returning the car at LaGuardia on Friday, once you get to the airport area where the rental places all are, there are about 4 exits coming up right away, one after another to get to the rental area. And I saw one guy, he headed to an exit, and you could tell that wasn't it. But with those voice prompts, it's such a relief and comfort to know that they're going to tell you right where to turn and how many feet. That is a great invention.
See, I don't have that.
Why?
I've got an atlas.
Are you effing kidding me?
I have an atlas. Well, I don't. I mean, it doesn't come with my card, so I mean, I'd have to buy like a Garmin. A standalone.
I have a Garmin, and I love it.
I should get one.
It tells you exactly when you're going to get to your destination, and it's right to the minute. As you're going along, and it
doesn't take you out of the way, because I hear people saying how, you know, the thing told me to go this way, and I could have went that way.
Well, if you knew where you're going, why would you have the GPS?
Yeah, how do you know if you're out of the way?
Yeah,
I assume
that's a good point. When it tells me where to go, that it's telling me the best way. Yeah. I don't know another way. That's why I'm using my GPS.
Yeah,
I don't know how you do it.
You've had this for years?
I got it as a Christmas gift about 2 or 3 years ago from my sister-in-law, and I love it.
Yeah.
Because really, when I'm in L.A. or New York,
so you can do that anywhere.
And you plug in the state, the city, the address, boom, calculates the time you're going to get there.
And it tells you
here's
where
the
to
other
turn.
Thing. Yes. In 400 feet, turn right. I don't know how it does this. How did I get lost at Ravinia?
You followed me.
The GPS was telling me to go straight, and Knucklehead here takes an exit, and me being Knucklehead number two.
Well, you had the GPS. Why didn't you just follow your GPS?
As I'm going off onto this ramp,
what did it say?
I see a sign up ahead, Ravinia, 2 miles.
Right, but it was after the turn. That sign is in the wrong spot.
Here's what I like, and I don't know how it does this. I know how it does the tracking of the traffic and everything because it's a satellite and it has some beam. The GPS, the Garmin GPS that I have, tells you the speed limit you're in and changes almost automatically when you're changing speed limits.
Like from 65 to 55?
55, yeah. 45, 30, whatever. On the corner of the screen there, speed limit, 35. And if you're exceeding it, it'll show how fast you're going, and if you're exceeding it, your speed will be in red. Until you are compliant
with
the speed limit, it won't tell you, but it will show you in red that you are over the speed limit. Until you get back down and it goes to black and white, it indicates that you're going over the speed limit.
So it doesn't give you any grace period? Like if it's 55, it'll be red if you're 60?
No, it's right at the same time.
It wants you to be 55.
But how does it know the speed limits?
Maybe
is there something in the sign?
Maybe the signs have some kind of a...
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I've never heard of that
before. It switches speed limits when you're going through towns or whatever. It goes down to 35 from the 55. Within about a minute, it's on that screen.
But don't you know where you're going for the most part when you drive?
No! I've never... To be honest with you, I've never driven. This is the first time in all my trips to New York. Because I usually stay in the city, that we've wandered outside the city. So how would I know how to get from
LaGuardia to Montauk?
New York City to Montauk.
Montauk.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
We gotta pull out an atlas.
But
those things are so freaking small.
Isn't it just one big highway?
It seems like it, but there were exits.
Oh, yeah. You did it.
Now, right.
Yeah. So you just put in put the address in Montauk.
Took me right to the door, exact time when I was going to get there.
Exact
and
time?
And it adjusted. It started off from the airport by saying something, and then as it got towards certain destinations where the traffic was backed up, it kept adding minutes, knowing we're not going to be there at that time. But by the time we got there, it was right on.
So did you bring yours, or was there one in the car?
We brought ours.
Yeah.
It's a portable one, and I know in these rental cars,
they will
rent you one.
It's not on them.
Not automatic.
I'm sure that
car.
Most of people are
That's
saying,
how they make some extra money. They have the portable ones, too, and you rent them.
I mean, this is not a new technology, but it is to me. I've just never used it. I went to Milwaukee a couple of weekends ago to see the Brewers play, right? So I pulled out my Atlas, and I saw 94.
I hope that's not code.
And then I went on MapQuest, and it told me how to get there, and I wrote it down. And
so 2012. Come on.
It's probably 2003. I mean, Matt, you know, the GPS has been around for 10 years. I'm behind the curve.
When you go out of your native town or state, I don't know where to get to some places here in Chicago. I've lived here my whole life. I don't know some of these streets.
Well, we took the wrong turn to Ravinia.
Right. In that example, following you, Mozart. Where's Mozart? I don't know. I've got to plug it into the GPS. Why would I know these streets if I've never been in that section of town?
Yeah, that, I mean, like I said,
no.
Like I, that time that you, I came to your mother's house to get the wood.
Pick up some wood.
Yeah, there's no way I would have known where to go if you hadn't given me the directions.
No.
I don't know that.
Well, there's another example.
Yeah.
How about you break down and you buy a GPS?
So what if can I do that on my phone?
Yes. A lot of phones have a smartphone.
Yeah, I have a flip phone.
You have a dumb phone.
Yeah, I guess I should jump into this technology world.
The great-grandsons of a woman who depicted Aunt Jemima want $2 billion from the companies whose pancake products bear her name. The two men accuse Quaker Oats of fraud and racial discrimination. Quaker Oats is the maker of Aunt Jemima pancake mixes and syrup. In their suit, D.W. Hunter and Larnell Evans say Quaker Oats representatives discovered their great-grandmother making pancakes at the New York State Fair in 1935. Anna Harrington portrayed the character in commercials and other public appearances for 15 years. The suit says Quaker used Harrington's pancake recipes and trademarked her likeness as the character Aunt Jemima in 1937. The great-grandsons say Quaker exploited Harrington with the intent of not paying royalties toward her estate after her death in 1955. They claim the companies conspired not to acknowledge Harrington's status as an employee of Quaker Oats by saying they could not find any employment records or images of her. But they say Quaker had her image deposited with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Harrington's family filed the suit after was able to obtain a death certificate that listed Quaker Oats as Harrington's employer.
Oh, Frank Jemima and who?
No, it's Larnell, okay. Evans, and D.W. Hunter. The filing also alleges Quaker committed industrial espionage by deceiving Harrington and wrongfully taking her pancake recipes.
Isn't it just...
The descendants also allege that the companies practiced racial discrimination toward Harrington and her family, reflecting an innate form of disrespect towards African-American people in general.
Isn't it just flour and
eggs? I don't.
I mean, what?
I'll be honest with you, as I try to be every day with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a big pancake fan.
You don't like pancake? I love pancake. But I don't know that there's a different... Is there a different recipe?
I thought it's
flour, eggs, and water.
Well, her image, though, has been around for 1935.
Well, think about it too. The face of Quaker Oats is that white guy with the white wig and the big hat.
Oh yeah.
So he sort of does look like a slave owner.
Okay. And there's their lawsuit. Taxi driver Bob, what up, bro?
Hey, that ain't my mama. Anyways, I Gary, you can't go away for 2 weeks, dude. I can't survive for 2 weeks straight without you. 1 week, you could just get by, but 2 weeks, it's brutal.
That's funny, because management said we can get rid of you forever and be fine.
Well, yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
Oops.
But anyways, about the Aunt Jemima thing, I could throw my 2 cents in about that. I grew up in Skokie, and... they had a restaurant on Dempster Street called the Aunt Jemima Pancake House, and they actually had Aunt Jemima walk around. I don't know if it was the original, you know, whoever that was considered Aunt Jemima or whatever, walking around in the restaurant and kind of like going to each table and handing out free, silver dollar pancakes and things like that. And it was going back to it now and thinking about, you know, that restaurant, it would never fly now because it would be, totally racist and all that other stuff. So
then she'd say stuff, ooh, child, you down on a couple pancakes. She didn't talk like that, did she?
I don't remember. But
that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I said it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, child, those pancakes look fine.
And where was Uncle Jemima?
Wait, where did the name, I always thought... Even as a young adult, that image always kind of looked out of place.
With that schmata she had wearing her head.
And Jemima, calling her Aunt Jemima, that wasn't her real name.
No.
Her real name, the image they extracted from this woman, her real name was...
Terry Allen.
No. No. Anna Harrington. How about Aunt Anna?
Right, that could have been.
Aunt Jemima, that's still around. That name seems kind of racist. I I, of course, I've seen a lot of names today that it fits right in.
I hear Alistair Butterworth is going to be suing about the shape of the bottle.
Uncle Ben, his family's got to be.
And he's still on those things. He looks like the guy Uncle Remus from the Song of the South.
No, he does, and he looks like Uncle Ben. Well, he's wearing a nice suit. He's an entrepreneur.
It's mighty fine rice.
I put the white on rice. That's my slogan.
Now I'm curious to know what Uncle Jemima did.
Well, we'll see where this goes.
I wonder if he was drunk or, if he made whiskey or, what he did.
Aunt Jemima. And that still is. To this day, it's the image.
And I could close my eyes and you could just picture what she looks like.
Oh, sure. It does have
that, your mama.
That kind of, back in the 40s and 50s racist look, but they seem to have gotten away with it all these years.
No, it's like the maid from Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, that image that was not in favor much after the last 50 years. All right, Taxi.
You have a good one. I'm glad you're back, Gary. Really happy you're back. I really enjoy listening to you, dude.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Alan?
Hey, Gary, going back to your other conversation about GPS and so forth, I was a big fan of GPSs until I found an application or an app for my phone called Waze. Have you guys heard of that?
I heard of it the first time when I was in Los Angeles. I was talking to this guy, and we were talking about the traffic in Los Angeles, and he said, I use this thing called Waze, this app called Waze, and it directs you all around bad traffic, apparently, right?
And that guy was Mr. Martin Scorsese.
and we are close friends as of today. Did I tell you? Yeah, I met Mr. Scorsese in a diner in Los Angeles, and he talked about that.
You gave him the eyebrow idea, right?
I gave him, the whole eyebrow thing.
Oh, he's such a fast talker.
I'm in his next film. We hit it off so well.
Gare Fellows.
Gare Forcells. What is that again? Waze, right? W-A-Z-E?
W-A-Z-E. And I learned about it about 6 months ago, and I have not taken my GPS out of the glove compartment ever since.
That's cool.
The thing that's so... it could be. The thing that's so cool about it is that it's really everyone that's on the road that's using it feeds it data. So... For example, if there's a car on the side of the road, you just mark where that was, and if there's a trooper somewhere, you mark that.
How does one do that hands-free?
Yeah,
telepathy.
Oh, okay.
They're probably sitting
Siri
in the traffic.
Siri does it for you.
They have plenty of time.
You have a driver and then a passenger, and the passenger is doing all this.
Oh.
Wink, wink.
But this guy, he was gaga over it because he had a long commute, and he said, this is the only thing that saved me. In Los Angeles traffic.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of driving, through Wisconsin and Illinois almost every week. And I don't know how many times it has rerouted me around backups and saved me a lot of time. Because as other people start to slow down, it knows that. And it automatically reroutes you. So it's really a neat app, and I just thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you called because this guy mentioned it as I was talking to him about getting around Los Angeles, and he said, you got to have this Waze app. It'll save your life.
You guys go to the Slauson cutoff at all?
On the way to the airport, there's a Slauson exit, and I always have that Johnny Carson moment where you cut off your Slauson right here.
Go to the Slauson cutoff.
Thank you, Alan.
Sure. See ya.
Did you go to down La Cienega?
Took that right to the airport.
Doherty?
And every time we went by a sign that said Van Nuys or Sherman Oaks, I thought of my mother, who always thinks everybody either lives in Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys, because when she watches game shows, all the contestants seem to be from one of those two towns. Every time I went to Los Angeles, you going to Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys? Why would I be going there? Well,
or Burbank.
Or Burbank.
Beautiful
downtown Burbank.
Did you go to Pink's, where they have the hot dogs?
I did not.
No?
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Well, there's a Chicago place, too, that Joe Montana owns that sells like...
There are several Chicago places.
Yeah.
Didn't make it to any of them this time.
Well, you're hanging out by the
pool.
The pool.
I did get Richard Lewis to come out in all black and sit by the pool for the first time.
Oh, I'll picture. And what a great picture that must have been.
I do have video of that, and I'll get that on my Facebook page.
So he's sitting by the pool.
By the pool, all in black.
With a black
and
shirt.
The sun, it's 85 degrees. And I know people think that I don't have any pastels, but I'm in white next to him.
Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah.
Do you have his sunglasses on?
His sunglasses on. Yeah.
I see he's getting better.
Yeah, I got. This is the first time in all my visits out there I got him out to the pool.
Oh,
he actually broke down and came out to the pool.
Did he give you a hard time, or did you have to do a lot of convincing?
Yeah. He got a dog about a year and a half ago, and it's completely, I think, changed this man. And he got married a few years ago.
Could he bring the dog in?
To the pool?
Didn't bring the dog to the pool.
No, he didn't
bring
the dog.
Oh, I thought you made it sound like he took the dog.
No, I mean the dog in general.
Just has helped his demeanor.
Exactly, because he has no kids, so right. Now he can focus on this dog. And,
yeah.
It's a new Richard, and he's in this movie.
That dog's going to need a shrink, though.
Yeah. The dog walks around. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how I'm going to get there.
This is a nightmare.
I can't wipe.
He's in a movie that's coming out, a new Jennifer Aniston movie that he's in, and he plays a redneck cowboy. Can you picture him?
How is he playing that?
That's what he's playing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't he mention that when he came in the last time that he was going to shoot that? Or
I think he was just starting to a year ago.
He's playing a redneck?
Yeah.
Does he have an accent?
I don't know, but it's coming out in a few weeks.
Is he wearing the big hat?
Yes. And I said, I think he's wearing a cowboy hat and underwear and cowboy boots.
Oh, man.
This text, the 312-521-8600. Gary, now kids consider back-to-school sales as getting their 9mm Glocks with extended clips. You've seen all these back-to-school commercials because some schools, some I think have already started, and others are starting next week.
They've started this week?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they have to start those back-to-school things, I guess, when they do the first week in July. I don't know why I have to start it then, but they do. And by this time, forget it. It is fairly a back-to-school barrage.
We used to start after Labor Day.
Some still do, but more and more schools are starting before Labor Day.
Maybe a week before in high school, but certainly not the second week of August.
Well, they are. Jeez. I don't know.
They got out late this year, too.
If they don't have air conditioning, that's got to be most summers tough because it obviously is still August and hot, but they don't care. Got my FM transmitter from Amazon. Love it. I can now put my speakers back in the garage. That's from Kathy in Romeoville. I mentioned that item a few weeks ago. It is called an FM transmitter. It plugs into your smartphone. You dial up WGN.FM, and you can pull the audio off any FM signal in your car, right through your car speakers. Bing, bang, boom, you're hooked up, you're good.
Very cool.
FM transmitter. It's around $8 on Amazon. So check that out if you're looking for a way to pretend like this is just as normal as turning the station on the AM or FM. It's that easy. And I got a text here. I don't know if I have the whole thing. I think it was cut off in the printing stage. Something about... Okay, you go on a two-week vacation, okay, and then you come back and talk about your two-week vacation. What the hell?
Well, I mean, don't you come back and like to share stuff about your vacation?
Starting now for the next 2 hours, Hamas and Israel.
Gaza.
Let's talk. 312-521-8600. ISIS.
Iraq. Should we stay or should we go?
Can we blast them out? You want to talk about that stuff? 6:30, Ebola. For a half hour.
Boy, I was on I won't say where I was, because that was on vacation, but I will say that I was sitting at a table with some people from another state of the southern persuasion, and when they heard I was from Chicago, the woman said, "So that's where Obama's from, ain't it?" And I said, "Yeah, well," I said, "he wasn't born there, so what do you think of him?" And I said, "Well, you know, blah, blah, blah," and she's like, "You know, I don't have anything against the blacks."
She said that?
Wow. I was like, holy smokes. I mean, you don't know who I am. You don't know my background. And so
if she did, I don't know if that would have mattered, but
I couldn't believe it. And then, so now for 15 minutes.
She said that?
She said, "I don't really have anything against the black."
When you say that,
yeah,
you already are
when
carrying
some
baggage. When
you say, I don't have anything against the blank, whatever the blank is.
Right, you do.
You do. And so then she said, like, I have a friend, and she doesn't like Polish people. Now, I don't give her a hard time.
Okay.
I was like.
About how old was this woman?
Oh, yeah. This is easily, you know, mid-70s. And I was just like, wow. Then we were in, I won't say we were in a former communist country. And this woman says, I'm not going shopping here because I'm not giving Putin any of my money. I'm like, because your sanctions are really going to hurt.
But you're on a cruise.
Yeah, you already did.
Was telling you you're coming here in the first place.
And you're on a two-day tour that you paid for in the town. I mean,
frightens me about this country.
Unbelievable, but just the mindset. Wow.
Hey, an alert to the producer's booth. This is the second text I got. Someone won one of those FM transmitters a few weeks ago. Remember when I gave that stuff out as prizes? And they haven't received it. And then I got a text from somebody who won that Samsung phone. Remember that phone?
Yeah, right.
Really nice phone. They haven't received that either. Is everybody on? Now, speaking of vacations, is anybody working back in that, send out the prize department? Do you see that text, Preet, about the FM transmitter? Can you get Wes's phone number and alert him that we will get on that? I'm sorry that happened. And those of you who won the David Novotny crucifixes that I gave out on the 22nd floor during that broadcast, I'm going to follow up on that. I left right after that broadcast for the most part, and I haven't had a chance to follow up, but I'm sure Dave is good for them.
I would hope so.
But these other items, they were several weeks before that.
Oh, yeah, that's been about 3 or 4 weeks.
Kreef, have you called anybody back there, and is there a response when you called about the phone earlier?
I believe Craig is on it.
He is? You got a hold of Craig?
Yeah.
Good. Well, he will get on it. He's usually, he's very good about that. How about this text? Maybe you could buy all 20 of us a FM transmitter.
Oh, ouch.
Number 2 trending, tune in today at 3 o'clock. Uh-huh.
Wow.
I said it. But that doesn't matter. I still am fine at this point with whatever happens, because that's what you got to do.
Hey.
I look at the pictures of Ebola countries, and I think, if this is my biggest issue, I think I can manage this.
And where did this come from?
Which part?
This
Ebola?
Ebola thing all of a sudden just comes.
Yeah, well, how does it start? I know it's very contagious.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, you didn't want to hear about vacation and see the slides?
Now we're talking about skin falling
Ebola.
Off.
Ebola. Yeah. Let's go.
You want to hear about any racists in Russia? Okay, skin crumbling.
Ugh. And again, when I read the article, one of the articles on this, one of the locals in West Africa said they've been working on these issues that people have there about the doctors. They think the doctors are bringing the Ebola in, so they don't want to let the doctors without borders in to help. And this one guy said, and we also had the mass burnings of fetishes to try to get that under control. And I thought, what is going on?
So natives wearing dresses? What fetishes
are
they burning?
He did not explain what those fetishes were, but
how
they have
one burn a fetish?
The mass burnings of fetishes. So you toe suckers, head down to the town square at 8:30. We're going to have a big bonfire.
Tuesday is the witch fetish.
Yeah. Silk scarves, Tuesday.
Wow.
312-521-8600.
Doesn't it seem like everything is just out of whack?
I know we say that over and over again.
But this seems like such a turbulent year.
I was in a building in NYC over the weekend, and it looks directly downtown where the One World Trade Center is now.
And did you go down at all?
No, I've not ever been. I think I was down there 25 years ago.
But you didn't see the memorial or anything?
No, I've never been down since, during, whatever.
Right.
But I'm thinking, if you were sitting in this building on 9/11, you could just sit here and watch that. And as you pointed out, if you thought the world was not upside down before that, that would make you think it's upside down. And now with all this other craziness, and I have the ongoing thought of when they're blowing this stuff up, And then I watched, as a chaser, Black Hawk Down.
Nice.
And they're blowing the crap out of... I know Somalia was probably never great shakes.
Right.
But what was left of it, somebody built all those buildings, and they were working, and people lived in them. Now what does it look like? And then when they blow up these Jeeps and stuff, and you see the burned-out Hulk in the middle of town, does somebody come and remove that? And that would be the same in Iraq, where these ISIS guys are blowing stuff up.
And are these ISIS guys, are they a lot of them into construction? Do they know how to make highways and streets? And do they have a 1-800 junk, got junk there? How are they going to make that into a livable city?
Is that thought that I have, is that crazy?
No.
When they are blowing stuff up, who's going to fix all of it? Because that was functioning before
right.
You idiots took it over. People were living there at some point.
Well, like I said, their big fear is they took over some dam. And their fear is that they are going to flood out the major city. So now what are you going
to
do?
Okay, to what point after that?
Right, now
and
what?
When you've got everybody that you don't like out of there, what are you going to do with it there?
And how are you
going to... Chief Knucklehead?
Unflood it and then rule it and have it work. I mean, I don't think there's a long-term plan here. I think it's all very of the moment, which
okay.
is very scary.
Ebola started from fruit bats. Okay. Have a little decorum, will you? And do we not have fruit bats here?
Yeah, I mean, but all of a sudden, why in 3 weeks ago did the fruit bat come back? I mean, somewhere it had to get infected or something. There's always been fruit bats.
There have?
Well,
I
sure.
mean, in this country, do we have fruit
no,
bats?
No, but I mean, somebody got, I mean, there's been fruit bats around. Suddenly, this fruit bat got infected somehow.
Why did that go bad?
Exactly.
What bit the fruit bat?
That's what I'm saying. Where did that fruit bat get bit? Something had to. I mean, you know, this was around what was it? 5, 10 years ago, where we were first hearing about that.
Ebola doesn't eat skin, you idiots.
Yes, it does. What does it do?
I thought it was an intestinal thing, and
I thought it ate skin. I heard that on the news. They were talking about the skin coming off.
Well, I'm sure it's not good on anything.
I don't want to get it. Let's put it that way. Whatever the side effects are, they can't be good.
Well, you've missed him for 2 weeks. It's Matt, the trivia guy, at 312-521-8600. Right, Matt?
Gary, welcome back. I totally agree with Bob, the taxi driver. We can't go 2 weeks without you, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, my God, we were destitute without you, too.
Okay, all 20 of you, as that one texter said.
Yeah, well, you know, you get what you pay for. Talking about fetishes, you know what the difference between kinky and perverted is, don't you?
What is the difference between kinky and perverted?
Kinky is when you use a feather. Perverted is when you use the whole bird.
Believe. Matt, working it.
I'll be here all week. Tip you later.
Matt getting tuned up for the return, first appearance after the vacation.
And a swing of the miss.
I read this article about a former Cub who quit baseball, and he wants to be a novelist. What's his name? Cardenia? Adrian? Is it Adrian Cardenia?
I don't know.
He played for the Cubs a couple of years ago, and he quit, and he's enrolled in NYU.
Wow.
And he just wants to write novels. I mean, he had a...
He couldn't hit a curveball, obviously.
Well, he had a promise. They said he could have been
really
at least a utility player for a good amount of time. And then he – is that his name?
I never heard of him.
You don't know –
Do you know?
It's actually Adrian Cardenas.
No, it was close. What did I say?
Cardona.
Adrian Cardona?
You know, all those names sound the same.
What's his name?
Adrian Cardenas.
Cardenas. And he was a fairly good player, right? I mean – He only played 45 games for the Cubs.
He was decent enough. I remember he broke up a no-hitter once. So I remember he made headlines for
right.
that.
They said that in the article that it was against Pittsburgh, I believe, and he spoiled that. But he gave it all up, walked away.
He only played 45 games. He didn't give up that much.
Well, it said that he could have gone on and had
probably made, you know,
a
this,
decent career.
In these days,
minimum
he still could have made
500
money.
Gs.
Exactly,
which
yeah.
they said in the article, a novelist makes a lot less for the most part.
Yeah.
As a lot of other jobs do. But he said it wasn't in him anymore. He just didn't feel it. He feels like this is his calling.
That's cool.
And is it cool?
Yeah, because so many of these guys don't know what to do.
But that's after they get out, after they've had a lengthy career. He was in the middle of one or at the start of one.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you know, there's only 700, 800 professional baseball players. So everybody else is not going to make it, and you have to find something to do with your life when you're 28. And you decide that either baseball decides or you decide that you're not going to be playing anymore.
That's why it was unusual. He decided.
Yeah.
Get it in the hole! I got that from last night. When we got home, I thought I'd see some 60 Minutes. I know
reruns. Right.
But I thought, oh, this is a good way to decompress. And that PGA, the PGA tournament was still going because they had a rain delay.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. Yeah. Almost 2 hours.
Get it in the hole!
Get it in the hole!
Let me ask you something. I'm not a golfer or any of that nonsense. But I have seen now, this happened a couple times, this Rory McIlroy.
Right.
When he's coming up to green, there's a person who goes, "You're 2012 PGA champion Rory McIlroy." Is that sanctioned? Is that somebody going rogue?
Now, I think when they, depending on when you saw it, because they do make that announcement when you're teeing off. Like when you're starting your round.
Okay, this was him coming up the putt.
No, then maybe some rogue announcement.
And I heard
it
several times, and I'm thinking, is that somebody just doing that? And why are they throwing him out? Because they seem very persnickety about all that stuff.
Well, now, you know, it's literally become a tradition now that after the guys hit a drive, people scream out Baba Booey.
Okay,
I mean,
I didn't hear
constantly.
That yesterday,
oh,
and maybe they were, but
they
missed it.
It's after the shot, so they're not, you know, is disrupting the swing. But whoosh, Baba Booey, you know, that's all you hear.
And that's from
the Howard Stern Show.
And I hate the name drop again, but
oh, you pick something up. There's a name there. Pick
my
that up.
My wife and I had a lovely dinner with Howard and his wife in the Hamptons last week.
Well, look at you.
Huh?
King of all media.
Well, I'm far from that.
Prince.
Fellow Hall of Famers.
Oh, that's true. Did you do the handshake?
Yeah, we have a special handshake.
Did he know that you were inducted?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Because he didn't show up when he was inducted the year before.
I know. We talked about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that was nice. I've met him before, but we had a really nice dinner.
Well, he mentioned about 3 weeks ago, just before... should we say that we went on vacation?
No, we were actually. Let's do it this way. Maybe this will make some people feel better. We were suspended.
Right. That now it sounds cooler.
And it was for things that were against somebody's grain.
Right.
Here at Tribune, and they said it's 2 weeks.
You just said it would to make it sound okay that it was vacation, but it really
it was really a suspension.
Yeah. But he had mentioned he was talking about having friends in radio. And he says, I really don't have many, you know, friends, because he got upset, apparently, because one of the guys, Opie and Anthony, the Anthony guy of that
got
duo,
fired.
Got fired, and they were, the media was calling him to comment. And he's like, you know, and he didn't do it. And so his complaint was, why are they calling me? I don't know this guy. Just because we're in the same business, I have no interest in why he got fired, and I don't care. I don't know him. He's not my friend. Don't call me, you know. And so then he got on the topic of, you know, I really don't even have any friends in radio. And he was listing only about two or three or four, and he mentioned Johnny B, and he mentioned you.
Mm. Yes. Well, I'm honored because, like I said.
And he has mentioned you quite a few times when he talks about Chicago radio. He'll mention your name.
Yeah, his wife does a lot of work with animals. They have this whole animal
North
shelter
Shore
thing.
Animal.
Yeah. And
so now does he say when you sit down and talk with him? I'm just saying. When you sit down,
does he mention my name?
No. Do you drop an Elton? No. Do you, so I mean, let's be honest. When you guys were at during your heyday, whatever you want to call it. You know, you guys were very anti-Howard Stern because you were saying that he
was... Well, I think there's a competitive edge when you're starting off.
But now, does that ever come up?
No.
We
talked about the histories of our careers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there are some things where in your career you say things or you do things. It's either motivated by competitiveness or who knows what. This business can really get you spinning.
And at this point, you guys have, there's no need for a competitive.
No.
You guys have both established yourselves. You've had a successful career, so why would you?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's nice to be at this stage and talk in a very natural way about what happened and how these things happened. But
there was always a weird, because I remember not knowing.
Okay, if you want to apply that logic, when I started at WGN, remember the blowback I got didn't you make fun of WGN?
Oh.
Yeah, because it was the big dog on the block, and you always put your sights on that big dog.
Man, that first couple of weeks?
Months. I think it was 6 months I was answering email about that.
Well, forget about emails. What about the hallways?
Okay. Well, there's some in-house.
I mean, my gosh, there was a few people looked at us like we had horns and tail. It was like, wow.
That happens.
No, but I remember because now it's hard to imagine a time, especially younger people, where you didn't have this access to knowing everything that's going on. And so I remember people would call in, maybe sometimes just to get your goat, or legitimately saying, hey, I was just in New York, and there's this guy, Howard Stern, and he's doing this, he's doing that. And nobody, in Chicago, you never knew who Howard Stern was.
We didn't hear him. We didn't have access.
Yeah, so you would never know. And then as he got syndicated and then he wound up coming, on the Chicago market, you could start to see where there were some
similarities. Yeah, well, they say that about comedians, too. Yeah, you get that interface. Really, it's silly at some point.
But that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Plus, I had never been to the Hamptons. I've heard about this whole thing. Wow.
Is it another world?
Yeah.
Is it? I mean...
Well, again.
So, like, what do you wear to the Hamptons?
Well, we were at a beach place, so we were back in the beach place.
So you
place.
Got your linen pants on, and what do you got?
Just very beachy stuff.
Yeah, right.
Just beachy.
A lot of white.
But to the restaurant, just casual stuff.
Yeah, just.
But it's funny, when he walks in, because he's a very tall guy.
Yeah.
And you would notice him, even if he wasn't famous, because he's tall, that's just what you think. Oh, that's a tall guy.
Yeah.
But when he walks in, everybody.
Do they?
Pretty much knew who he was, and then I'm sure they're looking at me going, and who's he with?
And who's that guy?
Who's that guy? Yeah. Why is he with that guy?
The paparazzi's ready to take pictures, and like, nah, that's
I don't know, who's that guy?
Yeah, that's no big deal.
What?
Who's the guy with Howard over there?
What?
There's a man over with Howard, I don't know who he is.
Jeez.
Did you, talk about, his whole situation on Sirius? Is he going to stay? Did he ever say anything?
No, we didn't really get into all that.
So then what are you talking to Howard Stern about? I mean, what are you talking
about? Gary, you think you got talent? Did he ask you that?
No.
I mean, just like...
He's an American Idol now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, he's an American
America's
Idol.
America's Got Talent.
Okay.
I mean,
there's
just,
so many
are you
of
just
them.
Kibitzing about the weather, or are you talking about the industry?
This animal shelter they work on, and his wife and my wife are from the Pittsburgh area,
right.
So there's some commonality there.
Well, that's cool.
Family in general and things like that.
Are you
Did
cognizant?
The name Pig Vomit ever get?
Well, did you mention Kevin Matheny?
We have a commonality there because he worked for Kevin and Kevin hired me here.
Right. Did you talk about that?
Yeah, we did a little bit. I mean, again, when you look back on all this craziness.
Right. There is a lot of synergy, though.
To some extent. Right. Touchstones that you can both relate to.
Yeah.
Although his interface with Kevin was a bit different than mine.
Yeah.
Because Kevin tried to really. According to the movie, which it was on last night, Private Parts.
Yeah.
Kevin told NBC management that he could corral Howard, and he'd make sure that he got it under control. WNBC. WNBC.
You ever hear how Imus does it?
WNBC. So, yeah, that kind of stuff. It was very nice.
Yeah. Did you feel people looking at your table?
Well, I did look up at one point. I saw a woman at the next table kind of staring. Probably, again, why is he with that guy?
Well, plus, he's gigantic, too, right? He's like 6'4" or something.
And his wife is an Amazon.
Well, that's a nice
thing. I mean, she's tall.
.com. She's tall.
No, I don't mean why.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's tall.
She's like a Norse god. I mean, she's huge. Yeah.
But a tall guy with a tall woman, that plays.
Oh, yeah. Well, he always, I mean, I saw him briefly at a Rainforest concert thing, and he was with his first wife at that time, and she was kind of tall. And I just happened to turn, and when you see him, I mean, he is a giant.
Yeah, I was when I got up from shake his hand.
It's not even close. Yeah, I mean, it's not even like
he
sort
is tall.
Of. He is just like a basketball player.
West, you're on the blower. What up, bro?
Hey, Gary, brother. Hey, I'm glad you enjoyed your, we'll call it a vacation, if that's what we're calling it. But, man, the last 2 weeks kind of sucked without you.
Oh, thank you.
Honest.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you had dinner with Stern, and that's cool. I mean, that's totally cool. When he transitioned to pay radio, or the satellite, or whatever you want to call it, it's kind of similar to your transition to the stream, as we'll call it. Did you ask him about that, or how? Or I mean, it's kind of related in a way, but a little bit different.
We did talk about it.
Did you guys talk about that?
We did talk about it because he was not completely aware that I made that transition a couple months ago. And when I talked to him about the format being similar to what he does on satellite, we both agreed that to have that freedom for the first time in your career when you've been working in a format for many years, it is pretty interesting because we don't have those restrictions that we had, and it does make you think differently about how you're going about the broadcast. And I think you have noticed the difference from this compared to the AM broadcast that I did.
Yeah. I mean, sound quality, I mean, that's the very minor part of it. I love hearing it on the stream. But
I'm just talking about the formatics or lack of that you have.
Right. Okay. But I just it caught me when you said that, and I thought, well, okay, he just went to satellite, or not just, of course, but you just went to the stream. There's a dynamic that two you share, albeit two different kind of mediums, but you're both doing kind of the same thing in a different way.
Yes,
I didn't know.
There are more parallels with internet broadcasting and satellite than there would be in any other form of commercial radio to satellite, because again, all those stations have a format that you have to follow, and it's pretty strict because they're trying to play to the ratings, obviously.
You need your advertisers to,
Well, and the ratings are computed with something called a people meter, and this thing is registering with people, say, 2,000 people to 5,000 people wearing these people meters, and if they're listening, it's computing right to their meter. And if they turn the station, well, that other station's going to get that credit. So they want to keep you, obviously, listening as long as they can to get that credit. So you're hyper aware of that when you're doing the broadcast. And that's why I was explaining this before. If you have a caller on for more than about 35 seconds, you're thinking, well, are people tuning out? I better move to the next caller. That's why you would hear that rapid succession of callers on anybody's show for the most part. And you can kind of hear the host going, well, thank you. I got to get to the next call. And,
yep,
and that's also born out of the fact that you only have about 6-7 minutes to get all that segment in.
Right. Agreed. I can see where you're coming from. That's right.
Wes would be gone by now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd be long gone.
Sure.
You know? I'd be at Jim's dad's garage killing locks and forgot about it.
And raccoons. You've got to move on.
Yeah, raccoons in there now? Oh, I can tell you a story.
No, that was in the house.
That was a long time ago.
In the house, yeah. The wasps had the garage. The raccoons had the house. It was like a Disney cartoon over there.
How many penguins are chasing you around there? Dick Van Dyke?
Some dancing penguins?
I mean, DreamWorks should have moved in and just set up shop.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, I just want to run that by you. I just found this weird parallel, and I thought, well, that's, the two of you guys would be talking about that together. It just seemed to...
And the rules, or lack of, same on the Internet and on satellite. So there are a lot of common points to the way you broadcast on these platforms.
Well, so far I'm really enjoying the stream. Totally. I mean, I always enjoyed the show that you used to do, wink, wink, on the other channel, but so far so good, man. I love it. I'm with you every day that I can. As soon as I get that freaking transmitter, I'll have it in my car, too.
Okay, you won the FM transmitter?
Yeah.
And you haven't gotten it?
No, I texted you earlier, and you mentioned it and all that, and I thought, oh, don't name me. Okay. Craig's going to send me a crap bomb in the mail.
No. I'm glad you did, and if anybody else has won something and hasn't received it, it's been more than a couple of weeks, please let me know. That shouldn't be. You should have that stuff already. So I'm going to light a fire tomorrow under whomever I have to light it under. I don't even know. They have people that send stuff out. That's their job. But they got rid of the intern program, and maybe that's why this thing has been slowed down.
Well, very well could be. Yeah, it's we'll make it better by not doing anything.
I will get on it, Wes, I promise.
Sounds like where I work. So, we'll do more with less, and it never works out.
And if you don't have it within about a week to 10 days, again, get back to me. But between me and Craig, we'll get on this.
Thank you so much. I'm not calling just to complain.
No, that shouldn't be.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, welcome back. I'm sure glad to hear you.
Thanks,
really
Wes.
Take care.
Okay. 312-521-8600. Hate that when I send something or somebody wins something and it's not sent out immediately.
Because you do, if you win something, you do go to that mailbox after 2 or 3 days. You do go there every day.
Yes. And especially the person who won that phone. It's a really nice phone. I would imagine you'd be really excited to get a nice prize like that. And to not get it, this is a month ago, at least.
Easily.
That is not right. So.
Well, it's the mail. Slow. Very slow.
I hope I didn't say anything about this to the point where Marlene got mad at me. Because does she control that flow?
Probably.
Is that her?
Well, she certainly might be. And she's already mad at you because you were talking about her taking
the food away. That's what I'm saying.
In 17 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. I hope that hasn't backed everything up.
Oh, you think that the food comment.
I can't connect the dots.
She doesn't hope.
All right.
No. I don't think that way. I don't. She would never do that. She's a pro.
All right. Well, I'll make sure it's all handled. Vince?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm glad you're back on the stream. I like listening to you.
Thanks.
I have a question, and we gotta do this the Chicago way. But what if a guy had one of these portable people meters? Mm-hmm. Does your stream register that?
The stream is not. I don't think it's registered. No, on those meters, they do calibrate listenership on the internet differently. There is a calibration though. Because I've been told some numbers, and they obviously have something to look at, but it's not through that same system. No. Excuse
me. All right. Good. Then that's just important to know.
All right. Thanks, Vince.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye. Bye.
Because the people meter works by they digitized all the radio signals, and then this little device, which is
picks
about the size of a pager, picks up the digital signal.
Right, when you're
signal,
next to that,
whatever
that
your,
signal,
yeah.
when you have it on. And then at night, when you go home, you put it in this cradle, and that information is shot back to their headquarters, and that's how they calibrate ratings.
Which does also open up the chance for, inexact, because a lot of times it's ambient sound that you're not choosing. What if I went to the...
That's what I did when I started this process. Dave, I know you're there. I'm not ignoring you. Dave Novotny on the phone. I'm going to talk to him in about 10 seconds. Went into a restaurant. They had the drive on.
Right.
I thought, if I have a people meter...
Boom.
They'd be getting credit, but I didn't put it on.
You didn't choose that.
I didn't choose it.
Did you choose it?
I didn't choose it.
You went in there, but you didn't choose
they
that.
They get credit.
Why are they getting credit?
That's why all the music stations shot up right after this system started about 7 years ago. They went from just kind of going along to zillions of listeners.
Every dentist office and Jewel.
And every talk show took a hit because you're not going to have that kind of luxury where it's being played in Walmart. They're going to put a talk station on at these places where people are sitting. I don't think so. Dave, how have you been?
Gary, how are you?
Good.
Glad to have you back. Glad you guys are back. I left you a message earlier on your phone.
Okay. I did not pick up any messages yet, but why don't you brief everybody? You have these crucifixes, right, that I gave away.
Right. I'm working on those for you. I'll let you know when I've got those ready. Also, I left a message with Scott Stannis. If you guys wanted to do something, I know you're looking to giveaways, do something for giveaways. Maybe we can work something up out of the shop where we can give away to the top three on a monthly basis.
Would love that. Any Dave Novotny product I can give away, I'm happy.
You bet. And also, I'm in for the Christmas show, so sign me up.
I will have you automatically there. You're always very
generous. Not there, but giving stuff away.
Well,
so.
I want you and your family to come, too. You know that.
I think we'll be out of town. We're going on a back-to-back cruise this year for vacation.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're certainly welcome, as you know.
But I had a question for Jim, too. Which cruise line did he go on?
Princess. Princess Cruise.
It wasn't. I didn't know that they went to those places.
Oh, yeah. They go all over.
Oh, yep. Is that just a summertime thing, Jim?
Well, yeah, because you couldn't go there in the winter. It'd be too...
Right, right. Yeah. You'll have to give me that information over, okay?
Yeah, I will.
Next time I talk to you, because that sounds interesting.
It was a good trip.
The great thing, if the word is great, but the good thing, it's certainly good about cruises, if you're not sure of a place and you don't want to put all in on one place, this gives you a sample of a number of places, and then you can go back and explore them, pick out one, and go, oh, Berlin was incredible.
Right.
Now I really want to go back.
I would definitely go. There's about two or three cities where I said, okay, I'm glad I saw that.
But I won't go back.
Don't need to fly the 7 hours, but Berlin, I would definitely like to go back and see, and a couple other places. And we've actually done that in the past. I mean, I look at it like an appetizer.
Yeah, you get a sample.
Yeah. We went back to Edinburgh, Scotland, because we really enjoyed that after we were there.
Well, you know, the nice thing about cruises, too, is they're so inexpensive. People don't know that you could take a summertime five-day cruise for $190, $200 a person.
What?
Yeah, they start.
Yeah.
What they said even on board was that they are trying, because, you know, they have these long ones because there's a lot of retired people, and they have the luxury of being able to go on for 52 days.
Right.
But the average, you can't just count on that for your audience. You need
something a little different.
Bigger tent. So they said that they're actually trying to now get some 5-day and even 3-day. So people could even do an extended, like a Friday to a Monday.
Friday for $200?
Well, I don't know. But
you can't stay in Schaumburg overnight for $200.
No,
some of them are like $500-$700 for like a 3 or 4-day cruise.
Yeah.
Some of them go, like, there's one that now I just read, it's a newer one. It goes on the East Coast. It goes to, like, Boston. It goes up to Halifax. Goes to Boston. Does the New England thing.
Right.
And so,
yeah, they're trying to young up on these.
Yeah.
And
well, those are, Gary, those are all for just staterooms, too. They're not balconies or suites or anything. So just a regular stateroom. But, I mean, how often are you going to be in your room?
Right. Depends on where you're going. So, it might be nice to have a lanai on some of these cruises, but. To your point, Dave, you're going to be at the buffet most of the day or walking the Lido deck.
Baja.
Right. Showing off my legs.
Yes. Or skeet shooting off the back of the boat or doing some simulated skiing.
I have to say, I won three trivia contests. I won the 70s trivia music. I won the classic rock. And I won the English pub. So I won a water jug and two keychain flashlights.
Great. That's perfect.
Hey, we're going to be on the newest ship by Princess, which has a lot of stuff. They have all of these activities. They have these outside activities, these climbing things, and they also have a 4D theater and everything, a full motion theater and everything in this ship.
These ships are floating cities.
Oh, ours,
the last one we went on was 20-some years ago, and it was a Princess deal, 900 feet long, and that's before they went super style.
The one we on was is called the Royal Princess. It just debuted last year. In fact, Kate dedicated it. It's now there's a newer one that just came out last year. This one came out about a year and a half ago. But it's literally a floating city. It's unbelievable. It's 4,000 people.
There are towns that aren't 4,000 people.
Right.
And they don't have skeet shooting in most of these towns.
The other thing, Gary, is that the cost of the cruise around Christmas and New Year's is the highest, but then the cruise right after that is half the price. And it's 2 days longer.
Yeah. If you plan it properly, you can get a good deal altogether. I would have never taken a cruise had the radio station not sent us out on the ones we did. But I'll tell you what, that cruise to the Panama Canal was fantastic.
My parents did that, and they just raved about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because think about it. How often are you going to go through the Panama Canal on your own?
Never.
Never.
How could you?
What? Would take it?
On a bike? Am I going to do
a dinghy? I'm going to rent a dinghy down in Panama?
On a buoy?
Forget it. Through the Panama Canal.
Anyways, Gary, let's figure out what to give the top three listeners monthly for Scott Stannis, and we'll make something nice for him. And
okay, that's I really appreciate
we'll
that. And do you have a timetable on the crucifixes? Because that was a couple of weeks ago.
I am working on those this week.
Great. So if you won one,
have them done before the end of the week, and to give the gym, or you know, before the end of the week or early part of next week.
Great. Appreciate it, Dave.
You bet.
CustomSteelArt.com is his website. Check it out. He does incredible work with metal.
Your crucifix isn't hung up in your office yet.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I noticed it on the side.
Okay, the crucifix and all the hanging pieces I had in my office on the seventh floor, I will be bringing them in tomorrow, and they will be hung within a day.
They will be well hung by a professional.
Yes. I just have to show him where to put them, and they're going back up but this week. Because I brought some of the pictures home so they wouldn't get smashed in the shuffle.
Right.
And I'm bringing them back tomorrow.
So that's
all planned now.
So that means that then it will be official? Everything?
Yes, that's the final touch. In fact, when I was on vacation, I had a little TV that I had in my old office. And when we went downstairs, we couldn't get good reception. Could not find a good spot with the antenna. And he said, well, don't worry about that because I'm going to get you a little bigger screen and I'm going to attach it right to the wall. Walked in this morning and he had it on antenna TV.
Perfect.
Mikhail's Navy was playing. I'm just about back to square one.
Right.
So that's a good sign. Not only did I not get blown out when I was on vacation.
Right. Got a TV.
My card worked. My key card worked and I had a TV going when I walked in.
Life is good.
It really is.
I really did, though. When I put the card into the little thing that opens the door, I was like, phew, green light.
I just sit there on a Sunday night waiting for a phone call of some sort. Hey, can we talk to you before you come in tomorrow? When you hear that, you know it's going to be bad.
Well, you don't. Oh, you do go upstairs because that's where you record the
opening.
The opening. So you do go up. But which door do you go?
I go down to the door.
You don't go into
bypasses all of so-called management.
The scary door.
Yeah, I don't need to see them right now. Everything's kind of settled in. Just let it go. Nothing can be accomplished here. Although the funny part is how anxious they were to move me downstairs. I'm like a lot of people. Change, I'm not a big person. I know it sounds odd if you know anything about my career, about change. I like when things are working and just leave them go forever. If that's the way it works. So when changes are coming, I get a little upset, even though it seems like every time that it's happened, it's been better. And I have to say, the thing I don't like about this new office, you can't open a window. Yeah. I like to open a window.
Yeah.
But anyway, anxious to get me downstairs because they had other plans. I was up here today. My old office is still empty.
Just there.
Although I saw two guys from the sports station in there with the door closed,
uh-oh,
just talking to each other.
Oh, well, then now it's a meeting place.
Yeah.
It's the Village Green.
Right. There's no furniture in there. They were just in there with the door shut and in the corner talking.
Oh, that can't be
interesting. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I could guess, but I don't want to. Let them talk about it on their own if they want to.
So what about the other offices that were vacated?
They seem to have been occupied.
Oh, those are?
Yeah. In fact, the cubicle that Craig, my producer, had outside my office, whoever's taken that over, and it has Lou Manfredini's sign, but there are playbills all around the perimeter of the cubicle. Is he a big theater fan?
I don't know. Well, you know, when we moved,
is the theater his first love?
It's his first love.
And plumbing second?
He might be sharing that, though. Because initially, when we moved from downstairs, where the whole station was a couple of years ago, to that upstairs, I was, in theory, sharing a cube with Lou and Nick DiGiulio. They put all the three Italians together. They figured we couldn't
you get along.
Couldn't get along with anyone else.
With your own kind.
But and then Dean had one. So maybe Dean and maybe those are Dean's. Because Dean had one next to that.
Okay, yeah, maybe they have.
So maybe they're sharing.
Because Lou's not here during the week.
No.
He's got real jobs during the week. He's a tool user all week. And then he comes in here on Saturdays.
He's drinking wine with Hoda Kotb.
Oh, yeah, he does that little.
On the Today Show.
So maybe they're keeping that your office vacant as a.
As a decompress room?
No, as a home, an homage.
Yeah.
Oh, so you noticed that nobody's moved in?
Yeah, I was just talking about that. And they could not have been more aggressive in getting me downstairs.
It had to be done when you were on that vacation, and it had to be done immediately.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, so we got down there, and here we are. How many weeks later? And
oh, my God.
Like I said, you weren't in the room, Leslie, but I saw two sports guys in there with the door shut just talking to each other, talking very close.
Oh, at least they weren't wrestling, because those war guys usually like to
do that. They were paddling one another.
I can see why.
They gave each other three whacks.
Thank you, may I have another? Now they can hang their hat on Derrick Rose. He's getting ready to come back,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any other joint that he hasn't blown out? Because that's a-coming.
Just the chronic.
Okay, he's both knees. He's got that.
There's always an ankle.
Yeah.
Always a shoulder.
What's going to happen if, he's left himself no wiggle room? Even if he has, and I'm not saying these others weren't legit, but he cannot have anything go wrong, why do you want to put that? Not that he can control his injuries.
No.
But now he's got no wiggle room.
Is it all about injuries, or is it still, aren't they saying that he's got, like, the basketball yips? Isn't that the problem? Is that
he's got Jimmy legs?
He's perfectly able to come back, but that it's all wrong in his head. And
that's what I was thinking, because you come back the second time and it goes out again.
And you know that you compensate. You know that he probably blew out that other knee because he was afraid of the other one, and he was putting more pressure on the supposed good one and blew that one out. So now what's he going to do?
We're going to find out in about 4 weeks. Or say, I don't know when they start. When does basketball start?
The same time around hockey, usually.
September, October, right? Yeah. I mean, pre.
Yeah.
And then it goes on forever.
Yeah, it's just like hockey. It pretty much follows the hockey season. But the thing about with him is that, you know, they were hoping to get another major player to take some of the pressure off, and they didn't get that guy. So here he's coming back now, not having played a full season in 2 years, and it's pretty much all on his shoulders.
It's like the Cubs, like I've said, have to be at least .500 next year, because they've given themselves these years of we're tinkering and we got it going at some point, and they gave this season, I think, as a bonus to Theo. And next year it's got to be a .500 season, right? Well, am I right?
No, they're almost.
The Bulls have to be something this year, right?
It sounds like legitimate sports talk to me, but I wouldn't know.
That's what those two sports guys were talking about. If those guys on .fm start doing sports, then we got to go in and knuckle sandwich them. Tired of that crap.
If they bring up Derrick Rose and the Hawks once again.
We take his office, and then we take him on personally.
Why is he using those horns? Those are sports horns for the top of the hour.
And we're saying it in his old office. That son of a bitch, I'm tired of it.
They're going to coin the term basketball yips now.
That's not racist.
No, yips. It's a golf term. I know because I suffer from them.
Who has the yips? Tiger Woods.
Oh.
He's definitely got the yips.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger, you might want to sit out a few years to think about it.
I mean, he didn't even make the cut.
No.
He couldn't even play on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, he swung the club and then screamed like a girl, apparently.
Well, he might be. Talk about, I got the back injury and I'm going to pull that out whenever I need to. As soon as the swing goes bad, my back.
Yeah.
And then there's Phil Mickelson, who's 10 years older than him.
Yeah.
Right?
At least
15
five,
years old.
No. Tiger's 38. Mickelson's about 40.
Is Tiger 38?
Oh, yeah. He's 38. He's not a spring chicken anymore. That's the thing is that. And you know, he's 38, but as I said before, he's got the body now of a 50-year-old.
He's had the body of a 25-year-old, a 19-year-old.
Well, at least he's getting more age-appropriate.
That's why
now.
I got
he's
hit with
he's
the
had
club.
The body of many ages.
Well, he's getting more age-appropriate. He's like, he's going for the most.
Right now, the sports station. And they're talking about golf now. When does it end?
He's down on the phone.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh,
good evening, Liberia and Danville. Breaking news. A boyfriend tried to romantically welcome his girlfriend home from a trip. He scattered flowers, chilled champagne, and set up an array of candles on the bedroom floor, spelling out her name.
He's a good man.
The candles started the carpet on fire.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And burned the house down.
He's a fire.
I'm sure that was not the carpet fire or the hosing down in the bedroom the boyfriend had hoped for. A developing story. A woman at a McDonald's in North Carolina went to put mayonnaise on her chicken sandwich when she saw a swastika etched in butter inside the bun. I'll have a chicken sandwich, fries, and a Coke. Would you like a side of hate with that? Hi, Hitler. Drive through, please.
I'm loving it.
I'm Gary Meyer.
That's not a good start, but keep going.
On the Streamliner. And some of you said I wouldn't be back when I left on vacation 2 weeks ago.
Our general manager, I wonder if he's hiring any more sports guys for the station.
The Gear Force, stronger than ever on WGN.FM, the Super G. 312-521-8600. Who is it?
AC/DC, Big Balls.
Okay. Perfect. Welcome to Monday. Yeah, they had to bleep that for FM commercial use. So the story that just came over a few minutes ago, Robin Williams is dead, and they're suspecting suicide. And you said that he admitted recently, he went off the wagon.
Yeah, he recently said he went back into rehab for some retuning. It had been 15 years or so, 20 years, and he needed to do some retuning, but wow.
Like, that guy should be doing any kind of stimulant, and maybe that's why he was the way he was, because...
I have a feeling that is one of the reasons.
The whatever was fueling the way he acted, because he could never... for a second, sit still and just conduct conversation.
So manic.
I mean, it was funny for the most part, but that was so manic.
And if you've ever seen some of his early stand-up in the late 70s and early 80s when he, with the Mork and Mindy era, I mean, he was, you could see he must have been taking some kind of stimulant because he was sweat. He would be at these concerts totally sweating. He'd run off the stage into the audience. I mean, he was like just all
okay, so how many decades can you keep that up?
Yeah.
Well, 60 some.
Yeah.
Six decades, 63 years old.
Really sad when you think about a lot of the baby boomer entertainers. You know, look at, you know, Johnny Winter before we went just died. A guy, you know, almost the whole Ramones band has died before they were in their mid-60s. They're not living that long. They're living into the late 60s, early 70s, and then a lot of them are dying.
Well, 100 years ago, that was considered a long life.
Well, we have
to kind of recalibrate, considering their lifestyle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that stuff does take a toll down the line. You know?
When I was, again, I don't want to name drop, but these are just friends, and Richard Lewis is just a friend.
Oh, pick that up. You dropped it.
As he said, we're on borrowed time now.
Oh, geez. That must have been a fun time.
I was just ready to have another drink.
It's another typical Richard Lewis conversation, though.
Hey, we're on borrowed time. I mean,
is that how he greets you?
I do want to say, this is a nightmare. I mean,
it looks
like a gay shipwreck.
Is he older than you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not I'm 70. Worried.
No. No, he's not that much older, but it's just what do you want? hey, ho, ho.
Wow. This one is really sad, though, because he seemed, what does that mean? But you see him, he just had this TV show. Even though it got canceled, he did seem like he was in good shape physically. It wasn't like he was keeping in shape physically. They said he was a big bike rider. So to just, for him to end
Don't
it,
know what's going on day to day.
He was, I mean, I got to admit, you'd see him on a talk show, I couldn't watch it, because he would just stand up and
and then he said,
he'd do a 17 voices,
and then he went over there, watch it,
and then,
there's Putin, watch it, I'm not a homosexual.
I could never, but he was, I mean, my gosh.
That kind of act would make you nervous after a while, and I think that's what we all felt. It was just like, sit down, calm down.
And half the stuff he said were complete non sequiturs, and they weren't really funny, but
By people, the delivery, by the rhythm,
yeah,
he kind of kept you moving.
Yeah, but if you actually analyze what he said, it
and my aunt Hermione said, "Don't, you're a Nazi."
Then he did pop. I mean, but you do pop with every voice in the world. But I'm sure. So now, what's the first thing when you say Robin Williams? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, you're right. Mark and Mindy was the starting point, but
what was like, if I say Robin Williams, what do you think of?
Park West, where he had a heckler that he engaged
and killed
the whole show.
Oh,
that,
really?
Why they didn't kick the heckler out, because it was relentless. So then he decided to engage the heckler, and everything went down the crapper.
Wow. I wonder, will it be Mrs. Doubtfire? What are you going to start seeing now when they start putting these montages together? Are you going to see Mrs. Doubtfire? Are you going to see Dead?
I just remember
Goodwill
how
Hunter?
Hairy the guy is, because whenever they showed his hands are, that means like a gorilla.
Yeah, his hand.
The hair everywhere.
Yeah.
That's
because,
I'm like a gorilla, huh?
Mo.
Mo. Ow.
Nado. But yeah, I mean, he had an amazing career, but I wonder now, what's sad is he had, a 30-year career, 40-year career, and it's going to be boiled down to like two or three things. They're going to show.
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire
was probably one of his bigger
and
hits
then
of
that,
his own.
That one where he was the doctor with the dopamine.
Oh, Awakenings.
Yeah.
He was great in that with Robert De Niro.
Did he get an award for that?
He may have gotten nominated. I don't think he won, but he was fantastic in that. And, of course, then Good Morning in Vietnam.
Right.
But I do remember the first episode he was on Happy Days as Mork, because it was so ridiculous. He came down and, like, him and Fonzie were fighting.
Is that when they jumped the shark?
Yeah.
At that point?
I mean, it was really silly.
But
I mean, it was like
Fonzie literally did jump a shark, and that's where that
that's
term
where, that's where the term came from.
Came
yeah.
from.
There was an episode where they went out to California, and Fonzie, challenged a guy that was a skier. So, of course, Fonzie was wearing his leather jacket while he was skiing, and he jumped over a shark. And that happened around 76 and 77, right when it was the whole Jaws thing.
My wife and I are doing a 3-day princess cruise from Vancouver to L.A. along the Pacific coast.
Yeah.
$159 per person, all meals included.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
It's crazy out there. I'm telling you, the floating cities.
It's fantastic.
If you're looking for a bargain.
I'm telling you. I enjoy those. What I like most about it, like, I like what you did. This was, for me, what you just did was a really good kind of trip, because at least you were in a home base for a while. You can unpack. You didn't have to, like, live out of a suitcase for 2 days and then go to another place. You know what I mean?
As far as...
Well, you said you went to L.A. for a week or 5 days.
Yeah.
So you had a nice home base.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to New York for that time. That's what I like about the cruise. You sit there. Like, we were there for 11 days. First day, you unpack. We went.
That's it. You leave it all on board.
There's no way we could have covered in 11 days the amount of real estate that we did.
The attraction of cruising.
And I tell you, all the food stuff, you laugh about all the food. But it's really funny to walk around. People are not eating the way they used to. It's not the gorge fest that I think 20 years ago it used to be. Because you go to some of these, they don't even have the midnight buffet anymore. They have only one little spot that's open 24 hours, and it's just light sandwiches.
So there weren't real large people?
Well, I mean, there were some, but I didn't, when we walked through, there's the dining rooms, and there was like the area where there's always food, like a buffet kind of thing that's always open till about 11. And it wasn't like it was always jammed, or at any time you'd go there and people have these enormous amounts of food. I would go to the health club every morning, and there was a ton of people there.
And give out tokens for the tanning booth. Would you like the tanning booth? Here's a token.
And hand out the towel.
Yeah, even though you didn't work for the cruise line. And then this one, was there ever a question of which cruise liner Bibble went on? Princess, with the obvious choice. And then as far as the GPS, knowing the speed limit in all these towns?
Yeah.
Just as you see the map, your GPS unit, your road, speed limit, and landmarks are installed on it.
How is that?
So that's all built in to...
Wow.
It's magic, I tell you.
There's got to be something on the signs then, right?
Here's a text. I won $1 million 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Explain. Call. I want to hear about
that. No kidding. That's true. It's a major story.
Cutting the show short today for Cubs pregame? I could, but it won't have any bearing on anything. It's not attached to that.
Today my wife left for work. She goes, are you on till 7 tonight? It's like, yep, every night.
Yeah, when would that change?
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, she probably thought, are you still working? Hey, Creef, do you see that text with the $1 million win? Can you call that person, see if they'll talk on the air how they won $1 million? Because I want to talk to somebody who's won $1 million. That's got to be a very good feeling. 312-521-8600.
We were talking about the craziness of the world, too. So then on the second day of the cruise, we get this letter in our room. And it says, just want to let you know that...
there's a terrorist on board.
There's a terrorist threat.
Huh. I was just guessing.
In Norway. And so that there may be extra security going on and off the ship, and you may notice more police presence in the port. And so I'm like, Norway? Why would anybody want to be mad at Norway? What have they ever done?
Well, it's time to move into new territory.
So we're on this tour, and so I asked the guide, have you heard about this? Because we got this letter. And she said, well, we did hear something.
Yeah, we heard something.
Yeah. And apparently Norway and Denmark have given military support in terms of troops. I don't know who this threat was from, but into the Syrian conflict. So the terrorists in Syria are mad at Norway.
These idiots are exhausting.
I mean, it's like...
Really?
Because I'm like... Who,
what? To what? I keep asking this question.
Who
I don't
Norway
know
get mad?
Has ever been an answer and I've missed it? To what end are they doing this? Because when they're done with all the banging and killing and this and that, what is left? What are you in charge of, you idiots?
And but thankfully, when we went on shore, there was no... I didn't feel any overt presence and anything, and obviously nothing happened. But it was kind of scary for a couple of hours there. You're sitting there going, geez, do we...
It's always good to get that letter under the door. By the way, this next port, loaded with idiots and terrorists and things.
I'm like, Norway is the most benign country.
I swear. Really.
I'd say, though, if you want to go see some pretty people, go to Scandinavia, go to Norway or Sweden.
Oh, yeah, they're all,
oh, my gosh.
At least 5'9".
Oh, the women are like 5'10". They're Norse.
And they're 117 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's
if they're that.
Unbelievable.
How you do? Hello? We're going to the fjord. How you do?
We did go to a fjord.
Would you like to go to the fjord?
And we saw some Viking ships. In Oslo.
Yeah, not too stereotypical. It's like our deep dish pizza. Get a little something extra.
But I wore, when we were in Finland and in Sweden, I wore dark sunglasses so my wife couldn't see where I was looking.
You had the lizard eyes. Both eyes were independent of each other.
And then, of course, on our flight home, 8-hour flight, this beautiful, tall, blonde sits right in the seat. I'm on the window, and she's in the row in front of me.
Oh, it was a woman?
In the middle.
Hey, this is when he rolls out, when somebody accused him of being on the pink team. Now he's going to roll out some hetero stuff.
Well, you missed it. Some guy said,
of course. It wasn't Dolph Lundgren.
Some guy said, of course I went on the princess cruise.
So what, you try to smell her hair?
No, but I'm just saying. But so she sits down, and I can, so I'm at the window seat, and she's in the row in front of me in the middle seat. So I can sort of see through the seats. You know, I could see her. And her head is towering over the, you know, the chair. And I'm just like, so my wife is sitting next to me, and I'm just...
And that's when you got the blanket.
Yeah, so I got the blanket and the dark sunglasses on, and I'm just like...
He went to town.
Oh. And this is why I can't use a blanket on an airplane. Right.
Does the Mile High Club have to...
be in the bathroom?
Or be with another person? Or could you be by yourself?
Just imagine what happened over Finland.
Can you be solo?
Yeah.
It's a half mile high club, then.
Oh, jeez.
It's a 5K.
Oh, this just in, too. Did you just see the text that came in? I'm confirming.
No, what?
So we've gone from really, really sad
to very happy news coming out of WGN-TV.
Okay. What would that be? That
is
would...
Line of Meyer
Aaron...
back on?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Well, Aaron McElroy and Demetrius Ivory are engaged.
I told you.
Are you serious?
I told you. I told you. I saw that. I told you a when that first hit, I said
they
those
were making
two
sausage
are hitting on each other. She would always reach over and touch his arm. They would giggle. I saw that the first day.
Love was in the air. Well, it most definitely is.
I saw that the
this
first day.
From, if you can believe Robert Feeder. But
now,
I
got to question that, though. that has hair on it.
You know, I saw that the first day. There was a, I could see that. She was way too chummy. She was way too chummy. Wow.
But she's sensitive. You remember when
McElroy.
Oh, my.
Wow.
When's the big day?
December. I wonder.
Uh-oh.
What?
I wonder if they don't have to get married.
No, here.
Oh,
nobody has to. Nobody has to get married
really?
Anymore.
2014, big guy.
Wow.
But they are an adorable couple.
They are on together in the morning.
Yes, they're on at 4 a.m.
And that's how it
and
breeds.
You wake up with those sleepy bugs in your eyes.
Right.
And
the sexual tension was there from the beginning.
You could cut it with a Black and Decker.
I mean, beg your pardon?
I mean,
all right.
I don't mean that. I mean a... What's another power tool company?
Craftsman.
Craftsman. You can cut it with a Craftsman.
Wow. She hasn't even been divorced that long. So now just think.
Oh, yeah. She's been divorced for a while.
Has it been a while?
Oh, yeah.
But now, I mean,
she's just not taking Jim's call.
Yeah. But, I mean, how ironic. So here's Demetrius. I think he was in the Pittsburgh area. He hasn't even been here maybe a year. Has it even been a year? And now here's his wife. If he doesn't get this job.
Well, that's, again.
How crazy is that?
That's true of how many things in life where.
Isn't that nuts?
You take point A as opposed to point B, your whole life is different.
Yeah. I mean, I could just, it was.
All right, you felt it. I don't watch morning television that much. So.
You're not up at 4.
Right, I try to get some, I try to get some sleep. All right.
Wow. So I don't know what's going to be the... Well, Fox is still leading with the Robin Williams story.
Right.
They haven't gotten the Demetrius...
the nuptials.
The McElroy-Ivory nuptials.
Wow. So now what's her name going to be? Aaron Ivory?
That's a nice name.
Aaron
Ivory's
not bad.
That's got showbiz written all over it.
Maybe she should be Aaron Demetrius Ivory.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Aaron McElroy Ivory, and he should be Demetrius
Ivory
McElroy.
Yeah, with a hyphen.
Robin Williams had just signed on to make Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Wow. He just couldn't bear the thought of wearing the dress again.
Oh. Wow. It's too soon.
Is it too soon?
It's too soon.
Is that true, that he was going to do that?
I don't
know. I've heard that.
Really?
Mrs. Doubtfire 2 was in the works.
But he was doing television because, I'm sure they offered him a good amount of money. I always find it odd when these guys that do movies, they are stepping down when they do television, although a lot of television is better than the movies.
Not cable, some of those cable dramas.
But a good amount of money is still a good amount of money no matter how you get it.
Oh.
But maybe because it was canceled and... All this stuff starts building up.
Well, if you look at what CBS does, and it's worked very well for them, CBS does go after the well-known names. And a lot of their shows have, they started, if you remember. When
is that how Halle Berry's back on the air?
Halle
is she
Berry?
A CBS thing?
Yeah, that's CBS. If you remember, Becker was with Ted Danson. Bill Cosby had another new show. CBS always likes to go after some of those major
big names
and throw big money at them. And if it works, then they know they have a built-in audience. And that show did very well.
Which show?
This Crazy Ones when it first premiered.
Well, obviously not.
And then I couldn't watch it.
Well, that and then it's another one of those TV shows that's got the Midwest vibe because it was supposedly taking place in Chicago, except you'd always see the palm trees and the mountains in the distance, but no.
Still. I mean, if I was going to kill myself every time something went wrong.
What year would you have been dead? 1983. You would have been dead in 83.
83? What happened there?
Didn't you get suspended every 2 weeks?
Oh, if you got, yeah, if you count suspension.
Yeah. I
mean, my God.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Oh, he's talking about things that really upset
him.
Oh,
okay. All right.
I mean,
well, then,
really.
Okay, mid-90s.
We all have setbacks. You just work through them.
That's, I mean, you know, the comedy world has lost one of its giants. You are going to see. It's going to be amazing to see what some of the people are going to say, some of the comedians now.
What do you think they're going to say? Wasn't he the guy that a lot of them accused of stealing material?
He was very notorious in his early stand-up days. Robin Williams is known from a lot of comedians as having stole a lot of jokes. Yeah.
And now it's Carlos Mencia.
But half the time
he's the one that everybody blames for stealing.
Oh, really? They always have to have a goat.
Yeah. But half the time you couldn't understand what Robert Williams was saying, right. So you didn't know if he was stealing your jokes or not because he was talking so fast.
All right, Leslie, what do you got?
That is the top story right now. Comedian Robin Williams is
not Aaron McElroy?
The 63-year-old was found. I haven't had a chance to type
that
story up
like
yet.
That's like a mother, though, I bet. Especially Channel 9, of all the places to have.
You got to ask Tom tomorrow, did he see this coming? Because he works with Demetrius, right? He's on his team.
Yeah, but they're opposite ends of the day, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't.
Tom's there at 5.
By opposite ends, I mean there's an hour where Tom isn't there.
Let's call Robin right now. She would know.
No, she ditched this thing when she learned that it was
<That's true. laughs>
not the big show.
Who's going to hear it?
Robin, you want to go to the internet with me?
No.
Dean, you want to? No.
No.
I want the big show.
Yeah. Maybe Ramsey is.
Yeah.
The
as it
himself.
Turns out, this show is probably as big as or bigger than some of the things they're still on. Oops. Oops.
Hi-yo.
What is that?
That's the Mork and Mindy theme.
Robin Williams is dead. Suspected suicide. Joe, follow that one. Joe? I got a text from somebody. This is, you know, Joe. Joe.
Yeah.
From...
Hey, Joe.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, I'm just welcoming you back.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, I missed the whole group. I mean, I've heard Leslie for the news and stuff on the other radio.
Yeah, I know. Somebody texted me and said you've been calling the AM just to get a fix, I guess.
I never called AM.
No?
Yeah, once I did because I was ticked off about the immigration deal.
Oh,
okay,
so. Well, I like how you went, I never called them. I called once.
But I miss talking to, Leslie I like.
Aw, thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, I always wanted to call... When I was on, when I called on that station for that immigration deal.
Yeah.
And I always went to say, let me talk to Leslie and say hello.
Yeah. I'm calling about immigration, but I want to say hello to Leslie. So if you could put me through there, Sally.
Well, she just wanted to see if my papers were in order.
Yeah.
Well,
you dreamer.
I guess we all should, because if we don't get our papers together, we don't get nothing.
So you're opposed to this whole immigration thing?
Definitely, because we have to pay for it.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, one way or the other, we have to pay for it.
All right, Joe, I'm back, and I expect you to be on board every day now.
Well, I'm sure you have to hear you guys.
Did you have a good time on the 22nd floor?
Oh, yeah, but it's so cold.
she always does, yes, but.
Yeah.
It was cold.
How cold was it?
It was breezy, I'll give you that.
Well, you had a grill for her.
Yeah, it was a little beyond breezy. You had a hoodie on.
I had a sweatshirt on, but you were sitting by the grill for the last hour. That had to be toasty.
Well, 45 minutes. Yeah, that was
right.
Toasty.
45 minutes.
Yeah, right. And you guided me over there.
When I drove her home, I put the air conditioning on. Just to keep her, freeze her up.
Like they have to do with the black box, they have to keep it in water.
That
because
was
she was used
though.
To that temperature, you had to keep it at that temperature until she got home.
I loved it, though, being up, but I didn't look out because I don't like high floors.
No.
And that was a big deal for me to go up there.
Yeah, there is a spot in the railing there that if you're of a certain size, you can squirt
out.
Right through that.
I wouldn't do that.
Good. I didn't want you to.
You know, I'm scared to go behind 3-4 fellers.
Okay, you were good. You stabilized.
And I did it just for you to go up there because I usually wouldn't do that.
Well, thank you, Joe.
I miss you guys. So I love you all.
Back, Joe. Everything's good. Appreciate it, Carl.
Yeah, hi, Gary. How you doing? Welcome back to the Gareport.
Thank you.
listen, just before you left on vacation, Gary, on a non-cable station, they had three different Christmas movies on.
They've been running Christmas movies all summer, it seems.
Yeah. Prancer.
Prancer. Elf.
A Christmas Story, but not the one with Little Ralphie. This was with Dudley Moore played an elf.
Isn't that Santa one? Claus? That's actually called Santa Claus.
There you go. Yeah, Jim. Yeah.
And is the third one Elf?
No, actually, Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay.
And that was on the Friday just before you left on vacation.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but maybe they have enough of an audience that likes Christmas all year and they
Hallmark
get
Hallmark was doing Christmas in July.
Yeah, a lot of
them. And
they
were
did
showing
that.
All their Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, if I may, I'd like to thank you and Dave Novotny, real good, for the Indian head sculpture.
Oh, good. How did you get it?
Well, honestly, I just received it recently, and I'd really like to give kudos, a special kudos, to Marlene Wells in promotions. In my opinion, nicest lady in the world. I think she went above and beyond the call of duty to get this thing to me.
I'm glad to hear that because I think I'm on her crap list right now.
Well, you know what, Gary? Here's the deal, and, you know, I can't speak for the promotions department, but I think there may be cases, Gary, where one may have to come to the station and pick up the item rather than them shipping or mailing it to. But I don't know, though. So
those metal pieces, because they're so heavy, to ship them would really be costly. So when I do give out any Dave Novotny sculptures, we suggest you come and get them at the station. And everybody seems to be happy to do that.
Well, Gary, what do you think the weight's on there? At least 10 pounds?
Oh, I didn't.
Pretty
more
heavy.
Than that.
8 to 10 at least, yeah.
Yeah.
But just to find the, well, anyway, coming and getting them here is better.
Yeah, and it is beautiful. I really want to thank you for that. But, and you know, Marlene, I think she told me 47 years at GN.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
But really nice lady. And last but not least, while you were gone, I saw Kenny Loggins in Elk Grove Village at one of those Park District concerts.
Oh, yeah?
Really good.
Yeah, he still brings it.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
And it's weird to see him without the beard.
Yeah, a little bit different look these days.
Yes, it is.
A little bit different look. So.
All right, Carl. Thank
you. Anyway, there you go, sir. Thanks a lot again, Gary. This thing is really nice.
Glad you got it. That is the Indian head sculpture, like Carl mentioned, that Dave Novotny makes that I would give away before the Blackhawks games. And then I did a few just kind of ad-libbed off the reservation. Not at the United Center. But I hope I'm not on Marlene's crap list because they took the food away earlier than I would have hoped at the broadcast on the 22nd floor. Because I
like
was really
3 o'clock hour.
I was really ready to go grab another piece of pizza, and I looked back, and it was all gone.
What, are you going to eat all day?
Yes. I like
show starts at 3.
I like
what are you
going to
eat?
I like the nosh.
Yeah, I mean.
Graze.
We're a grazing society. Everybody doesn't eat all at one time and stop.
Can you recap the Aaron Demetrius story? Only heard tail end.
Oh.
Tail end seems to be how it all started.
They've announced their engagement. That's that for that. And they plan to marry in December.
Yeah. And Demetrius is going to be a stepfather.
Right. Yeah, she has several kids.
Yeah, she's got at least two, I think.
She had a single mom who spilled milk once and cried.
She had a single mom?
Yeah.
Or she was a single mom?
Aaron would tell her bio story. They were doing these promos, and she remembers how hard it was for her mom when she was growing up, and that her mom was raising her by herself, and there was a time when they spilled milk, and she realized just how tight things were, and she's always wanted to do better for her mom. It was very sweet.
And at 7 in the morning she was telling this?
No, they'd run it throughout the day.
And I remember when my mother spilled milk
So apparently there is crying over spilled milk, at least in the McElroy
house. Well, she is a very nice woman. I met her a number of times when I worked over there and had him on filling in for Tom. And he could not have been nicer either. I'm sure they're a handsome couple.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Duffy girl going to try and hone in on the wedding? Because she was Johnny on the spot every time he was just away from the mic for a minute.
She's
going to
knock Robin Baumgarten and grab the bouquet.
It says on this text, she'll not take any prisoners if she's in that wedding area. I knew they were an item. He slipped up months ago on your show when he said she is cheery 15 minutes before she goes to bed, and you called him on it.
Oh.
That's right.
Did you?
I remember that now.
Wow.
It was very obvious.
Wait, she was cheery for 15 minutes before going to bed?
All right.
Hey, stop
and
it.
I'm Demetrius.
Stop it. Inappropriate.
You know, it's funny. There's a show. Mark Maron is this podcasting comedian. Did you ever hear of him?
Yes.
Mark Maron. So the season finale was on, and there's this scene, and he's talking to some guy, some old guy, and he's talking about being in show business and going on auditions, and they're like out by this trailer park where this guy lives, and you're watching this scene, and you don't realize who this is. And the guy goes, I can get here. Only takes me an hour and a half from here, this trailer park, to go into town and do my audition. And the guy goes, well, you're an actor? And he goes, I'm Isaac from The Love Boat. All right. And he did the little thing. And he's got this big gray beard. I did not even recognize Isaac.
And he lives in a trailer park?
Well, I mean, on the show, they were making it look like he's, living, but he couldn't be. Yeah,
how long ago was Love Boat? 40 years?
And has he really had another show since then? I don't even think
he's ever. Here's a compassionate text. Another doper dead. Who really cares?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the way it hangs sometimes. People are just cruel.
Yeah.
Oh, that text about I won $1 million 3 weeks ago. Somebody said they're probably goofing on you not getting the prizes out that you gave away, and they're saying that they won $1 million. I didn't even connect that, but that's probably it. Did you call that number? And they said they were just goofing? Is that what it all turned out to be? Yeah. Yeah, I won $1 million 3 weeks ago. I never got it. Well, call Marlene. She's got the million. But there have been several texts of people who haven't had their prizes delivered, and it's been over a month in some cases, and I just wondered, complaining about the food being yanked, got me into some kind of kerfuffle.
She's probably been angry at you much longer, which is why you got your food yanked.
It was what you did before that. Well, she used to get mad that you would get food at the Hawks game.
But I didn't ask for that food.
I know, but she didn't like the fact that it was provided.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't know. But it used to always, you just see that when that food came, well, there's the food.
But I don't understand why that would upset her.
We offered her food. She could have had a nice little wrap. Turkey wrap.
And some people get hit in the head by stray Frisbees. But this is quite different. This guy in China was walking down the street when he noticed a knife protruding from his head. Where did it come from? He was underneath a high-rise apartment building. The knife fell from an eighth-floor balcony. And he said he felt a very heavy weight before bystanders pointed out that he was bleeding. I cried, my head hurts, but I did not know what had happened. Doctors removed the knife. Police said the knife had been knocked over the ledge by wind. Why was the knife on the ledge? Maybe they were using it to hold the window open?
What kind of wind picks up a knife?
That was a typhoon.
Wizard of Oz?
That was one of them knife-throwing winds.
Was it a Ginsu?
and there's a picture of him with the knife in the back of his head.
There was a story.
You know what?
Timing is everything. If you're 5 seconds to or fro,
that knife misses.
But where you just don't want to feel what it is that you think you're feeling, that's got to be just a horrible moment. And you go, what is this?
And then you can't take it out.
That's the hilt of a knife,
And you can't take it out.
No.
Better to leave it in.
Yeah, you got to go to the hospital with the with this knife in your head. Because you pull it out and then the blood starts.
A knife falls into a gun.
Gary, please reminisce on your contact with Robin Williams. He passed today at 63 years old. I don't have,
did you have any past?
I never interfaced with him.
No? No. You were on the show?
No.
Well, so much for that.
No, I don't have to do that because I don't have one.
There was a story about some...
But you knew other depressed comedians, did you not?
Well, everyone. That doesn't narrow anything down.
Oh, this is where we get all philosophical and point out that the funny men are the ones who just carry the biggest burden.
They do. That's why they're funny, because they have to somehow correct all that anger and dysfunction inside them.
But he always, I mean, I think he was raised by his, I always read that he had a fairly good upbringing. I think he was raised here in the Chicago area.
You think?
He was born here.
He was born in Chicago.
Yeah.
I know that.
There was something in Chicago. I know he was here for a while.
Gary, were you joking about getting suspended for the last 2 weeks? If so, I must have missed something. You only mentioned it once. Well, here's how that all started. Started talking about the vacations, and then somebody said, oh, I haven't been on a vacation in 7 years. How does that relate to your audience? So then I said, okay, how about this? We'll make it a 2-week suspension. Does that make you feel better? Because you've never been suspended from a job, and I have? That's how that started. It was not a suspension.
But if he keeps this up, it could be.
Yeah.
There's always one right around the corner. There was a story that in the paper that a guy fell off a 22-foot in the Gold Coast. The guy was drunk, and he fell off a building 22 feet. Killed himself. He was intoxicated. And
yeah.
Somebody fell off Aqua last week.
Really?
A resident, yeah. So we've had a lot
fell,
of falling.
Just how and were they sober and everything, and they just fell?
I never heard any follow-up on the one from Aqua.
See, a building that has balconies that tall, and that is a tall building,
yeah.
And they have them all the
and
way.
And they're differently shaped.
Right.
It's like a whole
undulates.
Weird, yeah.
So your patio might be 4 feet or 6 inches, depending on where you fall in the wave.
Do you pay for the 6-inch one the same as did you do for the 4-foot
sure
one?
Sure, it's the assessments are the same.
Oh, man.
And speaking of suspensions, you guys missed the fact that, like, every sports guy got suspended last week. I think it was 3 from ESPN for talking about domestic battery and being flippant. The first one said something to the extent that women shouldn't, like, pester a guy to the point where he wants to hit him. And so he got taken out and sent to re-education camp.
Stephen A. Smith or something like that.
Right, yeah. And then there have been a couple subsequently, and it seems like that's a topic you might want to avoid for a while.
Well, I don't need to avoid it because I know what end of it I'd be on. But these sports guys are also macho, right? They can't go with, hey, that was wrong. You should not be hitting a woman ever. Hey. Sometimes, you know, when you're watching a game and they ask you a question, what are you supposed to do?
Don't egg him on.
You know, I want my chips when I want my chips.
Yeah. All right, I'm in my lazy boy. I ask her for some chicken wings, and she gives me lip.
I ask for salsa, not cheese dip. It's different.
So this is why you guys don't work on ESPN, right?
There is a scene, it says on this text, in Good Will Hunting, where Matt Damon's character is describing a picture Robin Williams painted in his office. That is interesting. Do you remember that? Kind of eerie now. I do not.
I don't remember that.
Been a while. You want to try to find that, Aaron? Good Will Hunting.
But he is Oscar winner.
For?
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, he got a supporting
actor. He played the psychiatrist.
I'm mixing him up with that Awakenings movie. I thought that was his doctor movie. Was he in Snatch?
I beg your pardon?
He was in
Snatch. Is it Snatch Adam?
Patch Adam.
It might have been funnier.
I think Marilyn Chambers was in Snatch Adam
over by there.
What a big red nose you have.
It wasn't a red nose.
The statement, was he in Snatch, by itself leads to other areas.
I was like 2, 3.
Was he in Patch?
I think he was married 3 times. Yes, Gary.
Patch Adams, right?
Patch Adams. Yeah, he's a doctor.
But he'd change it for a stand-up act. Yes, I was a Snatch Adams. Yeah, I did an examination. My puppet. Did you feel that? Now I'm on ESPN saying the wrong thing. Putin, put your shirt on. Developing story. Aunt Jemima's great-grandsons are suing Quaker Oats.
Tom and Frank Jemima.
To repeat our top story. It is interesting to a point, but then sad beyond. When you watch television news in other cities, which I did, they're all being guided by the same consultant because they're all doing this thing that everything is breaking news or a developing story.
The graphic comes...
This JetBlue engine fire...
Yeah, that was a big deal in New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I looked at it several times because I kept repeating it, that and the Tony Stewart story. And I thought, that JetBlue story is not really a story. It was on the ground.
Right.
The engine was aflame.
And they got off.
And they got off. And there was nothing happened. And I'm sure there's an engine fire probably every day somewhere.
But they did have video of the fire.
Somebody took a picture
of the engine.
One of the passengers when they got off. So they had that, you're right, and that's why they got on it.
Yeah.
And the plane was coming from Puerto Rico back to New York, so I guess they thought, well, there's a local angle. But that Tony Stewart story, I kept thinking, well, something's wrong with Tony Stewart. The guy that he ran over never got mentioned for hours. And then when I saw those cars, I thought, what the hell? Origami racing? What is that?
I never saw cars like that. They were like, they were taller than they were long.
And then the guy's walking around the track. Is there footage of him actually getting hit? Because I know on...
You don't see him. You see the car.
Because on the Today Show, they showed everything, him walking around, and then they go, we're not going to show you the rest. And I'm figuring, well, they got it.
Well, they show the car, but he was on the inside, and he got hit. So you see Tony Stewart's car more than you see the
guy. You don't actually see him get hit?
No, not at least the video that I saw. But it was dark. It was a dirt track. And the guy was wearing a black jumpsuit.
Okay, again.
And he's on a
killer whales kill
a racetrack.
Sharks live in the ocean, and racetracks have fast cars going around them.